Alrighty, guys, we're here with episode 18. We got Billy from the Game Chasers. Alrighty. We got the regular crew here today. We got Chris, we got Riff, and we got Ricky and myself. And we want to go into our first one. It's the real toll of YouTube. But Riff, do you want to give us a little bit of background?
Want Billy to just kind of start off before we do anything. We give ourselves credit a lot on the show. Like, we're one of the first OGs of game hunting. But you were before us by a year and a half? What year were you?
Oh, my God. We've all been doing that for this long.
I was 2012.
Wow. It was actually technically, I guess, like 2010.
Okay.
Yeah. About May-ish or March or something like that. Yeah. No, I've been doing it for, my God, for that long, apparently. I just got my inspiration from, actually, funny enough, little known fact, there was a YouTuber called Dinky Dana.
I talk about Dinky Dana.
No, you don't.
Someone just the other day asked me, who was the first YouTuber you can think of that was collecting games? And I said, I think it's Dinky Dana.
He did a video where he was out in the street and said, hey, you know, I'm going to go pick up this blah, blah, blah. I don't even remember what it was, video game related. And we're going to go on the journey. And I'm like, well, that's a fun little journey. I want to go along on that journey. And I'm like, oh, that'd be cool. And then we had already been watching like American Pickers, and I'm like, oh, doing video games, but then like, you know, doing it kind of like in the style of like an American Pickers sort of like, you know, polished.
It is crazy that you came in so early. So you would think you guys came in jank, right? Because the
what's jank?
Crappy, just filming, camera shaking. Oh, but came in hot.
Yeah, I mean, I have a video background, and like, you know, but the funny thing is, like, I still look at those old episodes and I'm like, that sucks. I shouldn't have done that. You know, it's funny though, Pat the NES Punk, he loves to think that I got the inspiration for Game Chasers for Flea Market Madness.
Yep.
I didn't, Pat. Which camera's on? That camera.
Yeah, straight ahead.
I didn't, Pat. I really, really didn't. I swear, like, I didn't even know you existed. Well, I knew you existed, but I didn't know Flea Market Madness existed until we started. So.
One of the first times we met him at a convention, we're like, hey, yep. Pat, like, you know, where he's like, I know you guys. He's like, yeah, kind of like giving us a hard time like this. He's like, hey, you got that Flea Market Madness wannabe show. And I was like, what the heck, bro? I was like, okay, I'll take that.
I could picture his sideway glance as he's saying it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He's got his Pat glare. What like made you pull the trigger on being like, I'm going to do it? Because I know that there's so many people who have wanted it. I've been thinking about it for years, this and that, but what made you be like, I'm doing this, I'm going for it?
So I'd been working on, you know, just my job, my corporate videos and stuff. And then everything kind of slowed down because the economy crashed in 2008. Or whenever it was.
It was 2008, yeah.
Yeah. Everything just started to just basically crash, and our production house started to lose work, and I had some more time on my hands. And so I'd been watching watching YouTubers doing videos on retro games, and I love retro games. I love making videos. Why not combine the two? So I started doing that like at the first part of 2000. Actually, I did a video 2009. No, 2010. October 2010 is when I made the first, I actually created the channel, and I made a video. And funny enough, I don't think I've ever talked about this, actually, funny enough, but I did like a video like my top five favorite NES games, because that kind of thing mattered back then.
It was huge.
Yeah, exactly. And I had the NES box here, and at the end of the video, I get up and I have no pants on. Nope, I have no pants on, and I'm like, you know, it's going to be great. You know, I'll just blur out the video. I'll blur out like that part of it. It'll be great, you know, because nobody ever does a top five NES video with no pants on. Nobody does that. No. I'll be like the first.
Definitely not, Billy.
I will be the first. And I never uploaded that video.
No.
Yeah, I never uploaded that video.
Rick would be the first no underwear.
It's been a good 12 years since I wore underwear. You know, it's funny. When you said October 2010, we started October 2012. So we were exactly 2 years apart.
2 years. But so we did just regular videos. I think it was the All Gen podcast. We did a video,
I remember that.
The contest video. And then a few videos, you know, just didn't really know what we're gonna do. I was just kind of throwing stuff up there, and most of it sucked. Well, all of it sucked. And one day, I think in April or May or whatever, or March, I mean, we decided to do Game Chasers, and then threw up the first episode.
Wow.
Did it take off right away?
Right away, yeah, I did. It, you know, relatively speaking, you know, in that it's just so hard to compare today's YouTube with YouTube back
People
then.
Don't understand it's, that, though. A lot of people do not get it.
Yeah.
Because the amount of people that are consuming YouTube now is unfathomably large versus back in the day that people consuming YouTube was unfathomably lower. So to hit 100K, to hit 50K, even 30K back then was like, oh my gosh, wow, like you're crushing it. Because it was like, a completely different world.
Do you remember how many views you got on the first video you uploaded?
Oh, man. A few thousand, but that was huge.
Huge.
Like, and I remember like guys I looked up to, like Johnny Millennium, GameStar81, who had 20 to 30,000 subscribers, and they were commenting on the video. Pete Dorr, they're commenting on the video, and I'm like, literally fanboying out. I mean, oh yep. My God, this is amazing. Like, this is the best thing ever. Like they're, you know, they're noticing us. Like these guys who have been doing this for a long time, they have so many subscribers and they're noticing us. And I'm just like going crazy.
I remember having the same sentiment when you guys would start commenting on our stuff.
Yeah.
You know what? A little unknown fact here. I don't know which one it was, but the first YouTuber person to ever comment on our stuff was Melvor. He commented on like a, it was like a top again.
Was it nice? Was it?
Yeah,
nice
it was very nice.
Yeah, that's must be nice to get nice comments from him.
Yeah, usually, it was very nice. It was like, wow, I really see something with this channel or something, and I was like, oh man, it's the guy from the Game Chasers.
He trolls me, so
I've seen those. He's always like, why did these videos suck so bad?
Yeah.
Now, how hard was it to like kind of stay consistently uploading the content that you did like when you first started?
It wasn't hard because, you know, whenever you put up that first video and people just immediately are like, and again, that was the first part that was early on in YouTube. Usually you didn't really see something. It was kind of that polished, quote unquote. And so people were just taken aback a little bit and get really excited about, oh, this is America. Cause I remember I would watch American Pickers and I would sometimes see things like in the background. They're looking at like oil signs and motorcycles and stuff. Yeah. And there were episodes where I've seen like nerdy stuff in the background.
Me too.
Yeah.
A big video game neon sign one time and I flipped and they didn't even mention it.
Exactly. Exactly. And so I'm like, God, get that. What's wrong with you? and so like, I'm like, I really wanted to see a show like that.
Yeah.
So I wanted to see a show like that. And I think when it comes to creation, it's like, you know, make things that you would want to see. And I think that's where you kind of stay true to everything. I wanted to see a show about people going out and looking for like nerdy stuff and video games being the most nerdy stuff that I, you know, at that time was into. It just seemed, you know, only natural. And then when people like got on board and was like, this is amazing. It made it like energizing. It was very energizing because now you know that you have something that people enjoy and you love making it. So it made the process of making it, you know, enjoyable.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to be on topic, like with this, is there a toll now that you've been doing it for so many years to like keep on producing that content?
Oh, for sure. 100%.
You and know, if so, my follow-up on that was like, for how long? Like, what was the point where like you felt like, because you know it's energetic, there's people, everyone's like, look at these guys, they're crushing.
I feel like we all hit our peaks and then we hit our lows and we hit our mids, but like, you know.
Right. Oh, I don't
mid-low trash, you're terrible.
I don't know if I could pinpoint a moment, but just to clarify,
yeah,
like the energy from when you put up an episode and people are just like ecstatic that you've put that up and go, oh man, you've made my night, you know, you've made my evening. Now have something to watch. Now that never leaves. That's always there. But you know, it's just you know, after 10, 11 years, 12 years, you know, it gets to the point where you're like, you know, maybe that creative spark is not as strong as it used to be. Mm-hmm. And that just happens. And you know, we did the movie and stuff. That was really you know, for me, it was a need to just kind of like do something else.
I get that.
You know, so.
Yeah.
Can I go back even a little bit further? How do you and Jay know each other? Are you guys lifelong friends? Did you grow up together?
Boyfriends.
I thought this was a Christian show.
There we go.
Yes, boyfriends.
Answer, yes.
We grew up in Blockbuster as boyfriends. We worked at Blockbuster. I got a job at Blockbuster, and he was already working there. And this was maybe like 98, 98-ish, somewhere around there. So, yeah.
Oh, so way before, like 12 years before you ever put out a video, you guys were friends. Gotcha. Yep.
Were you guys like best buds, or were you guys like, basically, so like Ricky and I, like we were best friends. We're like, let's start this together. Were you guys like good friends? But then when you're like, hey, we should start a show together. This guy who's maybe not necessarily my best buddy, and you guys got closer from there.
Well, so I'm a loser. So
Curtis knows.
I keep my circle small. it was just kind of like, yeah, friends come and go, sort of thing, and some people fall off the face of the earth. You never hear from them again. We just kind of stayed in contact, stayed friends, stayed hanging out, and literally just sitting down, just hanging out, watching American Pickers on TV. And where I'm like, but we had planned on, like, we had thought about doing like other stuff before that. Like, we had an idea to kind of do it, because we had like a really extremely fit. I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
Weight challenged friend.
A fat friend.
Yes, fat friend.
Yeah, we all have a Curtis.
Only we're allowed to put you down. You can't put yourself down. It hurts. Yeah.
Like extremely to the point where like he's going to the doctor and they're saying you better lose some weight. Mm. And so we were like, hey, you know, be cool. Like this guy was like a hoot. He's one of those type of guys where everybody just wanted to be around him. Everybody wanted to.
That's cool.
Be his friend. He was one of those type of guys. So he made the perfect type of guy to kind of like center a documentary around and be like, hey, let's take this guy, our friend, and try to get him to lose a couple hundred pounds and like go through that journey. And we knew it was going to be an absolute train wreck. And that would be part of like the charm of the documentary. And we were getting into that. We were going to do that. And he just basically just like blew us off. Like he was gung-ho about it. Yeah, let's do it. And then just because funny thing is, I mean, that was part of his personality to begin with, part of what we were trying to harness and kind of showcase in the documentary. But it ended up being the detriment because he was like just flaky, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess the best word you could describe it.
Did you know that our spark moment to start was from you guys? Like that moment where we were like, okay, we're doing this. And we were watching you guys. You guys are retro hunters.
So
yeah, go ahead.
So I picture, I don't know why I picture it, but
what do you picture?
Yeah. Okay. So y'all two were on a Ferris wheel.
Oh, wow. Yes. So far, correct.
And I got to the high point and you go, we should make a video game show.
Yes, that's exactly.
Dang, nailed it.
We were in his living room and we'd been watching you guys in the Retro Hunters and we've been talking about, maybe we should start a show. And then we saw the episode where you guys like called Pat about the Miracle Piano.
Yep.
And something about that, Ricky and I were like, dude, we found three of these this week. We're like, that's it. Like, we're buying a camera. We're starting a show. And that was the moment that launched us. So speaking of, funny question. What did you think when we came around? Were you like, these guys are just going to, they'll pass by. Honestly, were you like, these guys are going to drop out in a month? Or were you like, they're cool, or I don't like them? Plenty of people told me they didn't like me when they met me. So you can say it if it's real.
I honestly don't remember.
Okay,
like legitimately don't.
That hurts
remember.
More. That hurts way more, Billy. But I'll take it.
I don't remember yesterday though.
Oh, that's okay.
Now that
I really don't remember. Like, I didn't have an issue with you. I was like, that's cool. More people are doing what we're doing. Hopefully, one day they don't do it better than us.
That'll never happen. Don't
that'll
worry.
Never happen. to me, like, more people doing that, you're creating a community.
Totally.
So it's like that community, it kind of feeds off of each other.
Yeah.
And so, I don't really exactly remember what I was thinking when I first saw it for the first time.
We left no impact on your life. Thank you.
Well,
I'll take it. The honest.
Well,
not
at that moment.
True. 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 Okay. We give you a headache later, I'm sure.
Yes.
At some point.
For sure.
You know who hasn't said a word? Ricky, do you have anything to ask this fine specimen?
Yeah. I always wondered, like, we always get like people like compliment, like, oh, dude, I'll watch you. But we made our own competition. Back in the day, did you make your own competition pretty much by doing this?
Basically, did you go to flea markets and like, hey, thanks, we found a show.
You know, a lot of people will say that, like, you know, we'll upload a video and then people will be like, or we won't find anything, or, you know, we'll just be like coming up with nothingness. And people will be like, well, it's their own fault, like creating the environment. Yeah, I don't think so. I don't.
Ferris wheel, they say.
Like, I don't think so. Like that's like retro gaming. The nostalgia, the community of retro gaming is so much bigger than just us. Like us, we're just like
a little speck.
The people that once like us are people that like retro games. Mm. They enjoy bickering, mm-hmm. and they enjoy farting.
Yeah.
Okay.
You just seen like all the whole song right there.
Yeah. That's a very small percentage. So no, that very small percentage was not the reason for the big, you know, the big explosion of retro, you know, the retro gaming, you know, I guess competition or, you know what I mean?
I will say though, I knew like Little Samson and Flintstones Surprise at Dinosaur Peak. I feel like that's when everybody heard about it, which again, that's no shame. I knew it was expensive. I knew it was valuable, but I feel like that's when like, and to this day, I don't know if it's called giving you credit or what it is, but I feel like to this day, Little Samson is like the game on the NES. And I credit it back to you guys finding it because I feel like that was such a big moment in the retro scene.
Did you find both of those in Game Exchange? One, I know you found the Flintstones.
So no, Flintstones was that Game Exchange. Yeah, yeah. The Little Samson that I ended up giving to Jay was actually at the flea market.
Well, I found a Little Samson at the flea market, which is why I ended up.
What'd you pay?
Nice.
I paid $4.
What'd you pay? $15.99.
No.
$18.99.
No.
Less than $10.
$10.
Let's go. Hey,
but do we need to adjust for inflation though?
True. Inflation adjustment.
Yeah, I paid $4 for mine. $4.
Wow. Now your channel has been pretty pride and true to like what its image is. Do you have any like creative direction that you want to pursue in like in the future with it?
I want to do more movies
with like, with the boys.
Yeah, no, it's just I enjoy it. I like making content. I love making things that people enjoy. I love people making things that people like will literally like set things aside to watch. You know, however big or small that those amount of people might be, they exist. The one thing I don't like dealing with is YouTube and the algorithm,
the
and
game,
all that stuff. I hate it so much.
Yeah, you stick to your guns with like how you produce your content, but it's
no, I don't now. Well, I have, but nowadays it's like I'm trying to like anything. I'll do any little thing. Like I'll. Oh, I don't know. Even if it comes to a thumbnail, it's like, what can I do to make this be okay in the algorithm to where it's not going to like, YouTube isn't going to like just, because I have people like saying, oh, this didn't show up in like, you know, my notifications or whatever and like all that stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, what are we doing? What are we doing wrong? Mm-hmm. And so I just don't like, that's just mental juices that could be used towards something else that I don't want to deal with. I just want to make stuff. I don't want to deal with all that stuff.
A lot of the big dogs who are putting out content, who are getting those views, and not obviously there's tiny teams as well, but a lot of people are hiring people. Like, you do the media side of it, you make sure that it gets seen by YouTube. Do the analytics, which, you know, obviously you have to have a team to do that and the money, but there's a lot of people who obviously grow. Like, you've seen that guy Sam Solik, the muscle lifting guy, weightlifting guy.
I'm not familiar with.
There's a guy on YouTube right now who's kind of took everything that we.
YouTube's, is that the guy with the kind of like long hair?
Yep. He's just huge, man.
He's got like acne because of the
thumbnails,
the roids.
No edits.
He's on everything.
No nothing. He uploads a video, raw footage, whatever thumbnails there, and he's just broke the internet. So everyone's like, what? Like, how is this? Because if you think about what's called Mr. Beastification of YouTube, it's crazy edits, crazy thumbnails, wild, wild, wild. That was like, that's how we get views.
But didn't he do a thing like recently where like he closed his mouth and like apparently it got more views? Like,
I saw something. That was Mr. Beast. You're talking about Mr. Beast.
Yeah, Mr. Beast. Yeah.
He did like a thumbnail mouth open, mouth closed kind of comparison to see.
Oh, because the mouth open has been so popularized.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Wow.
Can I ask you, back in the day, like one of our business partners with SoCal Gaming Expo and one of my longtime partners with Retro World is Lance Cortez, who is one of the founders of RetroWare TV. Mm-hmm. Like, how much did that help the algorithm and the growth of like you and maybe even Norm and Pat, like early on? Like, walk me through the history of how you guys like even got involved with RetroWare TV and kind of all came together with that.
So retro TV was something I was actually watching before we even started the channel. So I would watch things like Video Game Takeout, some of the other shows like Happy Video Game Nerd. He would actually post there a lot too. And so I was familiar with the videos they were putting up there, and we came across, and actually Pat was the first person that came, approached us and said, hey, I think you guys would be good, because I think he had just joined the site and he was, starting to be, I guess, a recruiter or something like that for the site. And so he was, hey, you guys want to be a part of it? And I was actually like, at the first I was like, yes, that dude, that's awesome. Cause I've been watching you guys. It's funny because I'd be doing my corporate video, my little nook, editing videos and stuff, or the talking heads of Allstate and various local lawyers and all that stuff. It's great work. It pays the bills, but it's not exactly
for people. Hard to be passionate about.
Exactly. And while something maybe like rendering, where I couldn't do anything else, I would be watching like YouTube videos. I'd be watching retrowaretv.com. I'd be watching these videos. And so this was way before I actually started, making those type of, videos on my own. And so when we started making those videos, and we started Pat emailed me, and then Lance Cortez and John DeLay, they emailed me, and we start rubbing elbows with like guys like James Rolfe and stuff. It was like a freaking amazing, like huge deal at that time.
Yeah.
It was like, holy crap, these are guys I've been watching. They inspired, helped, it was a lot of inspiration that went into the channel, but those people were definitely part of the Happy Video Game Nerd. And so to be a part of that site, like there were some issues that we kind of had to work out with, I didn't want to go on the channel and like forget the YouTube channel. Mm. I didn't want to potentially like lose that audience. So there were some issues that we needed to kind of work out. Mm. But we got on board with them and started to, be a part of that, tight knit group. And that was really super cool, because they would do things like go to MacFest.
Yeah, those are awesome.
Yeah, and we'd be a part of that. Now looking back and seeing like, man, I don't think like right now if we went to MacFest we'd be like the old men. It would be awkward as hell. But then it was just super cool, and just so being a part of that site, once we were part of it, it was just kind of surreal in that moment, because here I am, watching these people before the idea of even making videos popped into my head, and now we're a part of the site.
I made it feeling.
Yeah, in a way, as cheesy it may sound.
Well, your goals are your goals too. Yeah. Making it can be different for each person, it means to you,
How could you guys are both obviously well-established YouTubers. How come you don't see more of that conglomerate, like people coming together like that anymore?
A lot more money's involved these days with YouTube.
Yeah.
So a lot can get real dicey. Companies like Machinima get built up and then they fall, and Rev5 or whatever it was called. A lot of times this stuff does happen. Sometimes they work. There's stuff like Normal Boots and all these, but a lot of times I will say, it's been a while since I've seen one just kind of stay true.
Like, doesn't Screenwave Media, that was kind of their initial, I think, was that. And they own RetroWare TV now, too.
I think everyone just wants to take as much kind of high home as they can at this point.
Everybody's, kind of doing their own thing.
RetroWare is actually, they turned it into a video game.
They got an awesome publisher, game coming.
Publisher now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, they actually, I'm not paid by them by any means, but they actually, Prison City actually looks pretty bad.
Billy can't know.
Hey guys, if you guys haven't got your tickets yet for SoCal Gaming Expo, I'm gonna tell you, for June 8th and June 9th of 2024, I'm telling you right now, please get your tickets. And
nice, we're going to Curtis, I like that. Thank you, Curtis. Plug it, baby.
All right, and we're gonna go on to our next topic. It's gonna be agree or disagree.
Ooh, okay, baby. Billy, sir,
this one is.
You're gonna put a thumbs up if you agree, a thumbs down if you disagree, and then we'll talk. We will make sure and let the audience know what we're doing as well. And be ready, dude. I hope we disagree on a lot of things so we can argue with each other. Because after that last conversation, we have too much in common.
I know. I need some bickering. I'm not used to doing this without bickering.
It's like everyone's being friendly and like supporting of each other. Oh, nice, Billy. Good job. You're doing great. Yeah.
All right, we're gonna go on to our...
It's contemplating all his friends back at home.
We're going to go on to our first one. It's going to be, the original Metroid is a fun game.
The original Metroid is a fun game.
Agree or disagree? Yeah.
It's great.
We got three agrees from Chris and Riff, and we got Billy. What? And the only disagree is Riff.
How can you disagree with this?
What's wrong with it?
Okay, so I like the game. I like Metroid, but the word that's throwing me off is fun. I don't think I have necessarily fun playing the original Metroid. I like the game, but I don't think fun is the word I would use. I consider like a side scroller, a beat 'em up, a platformer a little bit more fun for me. I'm also dumb. So when I have to think and like, where do I go? I can't remember what this, that, I don't have as much fun. I like the game, but it doesn't resonate. It puts the F you in fun.
Is it something that you played for the first time, like when you started collecting, or did you?
No, definitely back in the day. Okay. But it's in my household, it was always like I was the more run and gun platformer, and my brothers were always like the more explorative, the Zeldas, little think harder. Mm-hmm. Again, the best example my dad ever told me is when we were kids, he gave me and my brother a stereo, both of us, said, take it apart. And literally to this day, he said, my brother grabbed a screwdriver, I grabbed a hammer. And that's the example. And I just taking it apart. And that's the example how my brain works. So.
Does anybody have like a really good history of like that game, like playing
it? It's one of my favorite games. I absolutely love it.
I'm sorry.
First of all, you're not dumb. It's not that. You might just not have liked something about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I actually like that like I would get lost in that world. So
Billy's just thinking how this would never happen on his podcast. I call myself dumb. You're like, dude, you're not dumb. You're okay. On your
podcast, it'd be like... But with a cuss word.
Oh, yeah, true. And by giggling. And giggling by Mel Moore.
Yeah. And then a fart.
I just love that. He's like, our audience is fart.
They are farts. They are farts, 100%.
All right, we're going to go on to our next one. It's going to be the Nintendo cartridge is actually the best physical cartridge.
The Nintendo cartridge is the best cartridge. Okay, thumbs up for me.
Thumbs up for Ricky.
Thumbs up for Ricky. Thumbs down from the two tall white men over here. Let's hear Billy first.
Chiseled white men. Don't forget that.
I think it goes to Super Nintendo.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now just the overall design, that 72 pin connector gets bent a little bit because of the way you got to push it down. Now I understand that's not because of the cart itself. It's the overall design of the system and the cart, but I still have to give it to, I don't know, man. Like that, pushing that NES game in is pretty nostalgic. I think I'm going to go.
If I said like for a logo right now, it's like, hey, Billy, you do media stuff at work. If someone's like, hey, Billy, we're starting a gaming retro stuff, and they're like, hey, just draw us a cartridge as our logo, and we'll put our brand in there. I would argue most people would put an NES cartridge.
Yeah, sure.
It's kind of like these. What are your thoughts? I see you thinking.
No, the NES cartridge is good.
So what's your glory for Super Nintendo?
Well, first off, the NES cartridge, if you open it up, 80% of it is just dead space. True. So, and I've seen way more broken NES cartridges than I have Super NES cartridges. They hold up a little bit better. Now, I would throw N64 in there, except there's no top label, which absolutely takes that out of the equation.
What's the worst cartridge?
Not 9 times out of 10, if I could try to put a Super Nintendo game in, it works. 9 times out of 10, with an NES game, it doesn't work.
I like the compactness of it, too.
Ricky?
It's super sturdy.
I just love the way it looks when you display it. It NES? Looks way too cool. Like, if you try stacking Super Nintendo, what happens? It starts sliding down.
Well, sure. Mm-hmm. You gotta do it kind of like vertically.
Oh, exactly. So I love stacking my games. Like, I think it looks awesome.
Dang, I didn't think about it like that. But that's
I think Nintendo takes the cake, NES, as far as just, like, physical look. Like, if I was to put one on the wall, I would want a Nintendo cartridge on there. It just feels better. It looks better. Something about the Super Nintendo. I guess if we're talking durability, you guys are probably correct.
Yeah.
But if we're talking just physical sexiness, I think Nintendo.
Well, I mean, Atari looks pretty good too.
What's the word?
What was the original question?
It's not a question. It's a statement.
What was the worst?
Nintendo is the
best cartridge. So it's like the NES.
Worst? Oh, 64 is the worst. You stack them up. There's no,
label.
Labels.
Oh, that's 64
is the worst.
I don't like Genesis, but that's just because the labels always fall off.
Yeah, I would say that Genesis.
Genesis is bad.
The
too.
Labels always fall
off. You know
off.
What the problem with Genesis is too? When you stack them up, the labels are upside down.
That's true.
Yeah, you know which one I hate the most?
You have
though?
To put them reverse.
Sega Master System's one. I hate that one the most.
It is terrible.
Let's move on.
It is the worst.
I love terrible. The Sega Master cartridge. I love everything Sega Master. I've never been able
no
to.
No colors
about
to them either. They're all that one brown color, which is terrible.
That sounds like racism.
I would definitely pick the Atari's game labels over them, dude.
Oh,
easily.
Hey, so would I, but it's because I'm an old I'm not going to.
Oh, yes.
I'm
not gonna
fart.
That was close.
Yeah. All right, we're going to go into our next one. It's going to be reaction channels are considered original content.
Ooh, reaction channels are original content.
Down reaction for me.
I'll disagree.
Quadruple no. Billy, you put up. Oh, Chris.
No. Disagree.
You put up yours first. What's your thought?
He was ironic. Well, funny enough, I actually listened to, or I watch. I got into this little rabbit hole where like newer kids were watching like Metallica videos and reacting to them, and for whatever reason, I got sucked into that. And they were like, because it's kind of fascinating to hear what like newer generations think of like older music. So I know that me sitting here and doing this kind of contradicts.
I've watched what I was them too. Don't
just
worry.
Just saying. Okay, but I know that the vast majority of reaction videos I've watched is just like somebody watching, oh, dude, that's cool. What he did? What?
Yeah, it's always the fake, like, no way, bro. But it's like,
or sometimes they don't even do anything. They're just like, it was literally nothing. And like, sometimes I have seen some where, no joke, they just like, hey, record a video of me doing this for like 10 minutes. No way. Damn. And they just put that on video after video after video. They're not even actually reacting to the video.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that. Like in YouTube Shorts, they'll do it and it'll be the same reaction feed of them for 20 seconds and they'll just layer it over multiple different videos.
Yes.
There's been people even faking playing video games.
Yes.
Where they're just sitting like this, hands under the table and just playing, have a game playing on the screen.
Reaction content is lazy, but then you somehow figured out a way to make it lazier.
Yeah, that's the laziest form of it. And I will say, I myself have watched, you know, people hearing the Righteous Brothers for the first time and they're like, wait a sec, they're not black.
Yeah,
that's like, that's the number one reaction you get from Righteous Brothers. It's that one song, you lost that love, and it starts out dark, and then the lights turn on, they're like, they're not black! Oh, damn!
Or Unchained Melody is another
Unchained Melody.
Unchained Melody is, oh, damn, they're not black! Oh, shit!
And we're hating over here, but it can be entertaining. Yeah. But as far as original content, I mean, you're just watching somebody else's content.
Absolutely.
Agreed.
And so, like, at the end of the day, I'm just going to put this because It's lazy. Like, it really is.
It's finally found my channel to do.
All reactions?
Yeah.
I've done it before, too. I've done, like, a couple reactions, too.
I'm like,
too,
Yeah. That'd be the next thing.
Well, yeah, just exactly what I was saying. Record a video, just literally just 10 minutes. Huh? What? Huh? I just put that.
And just
you
keep
have,
it on.
Like, an infinite number of videos you can make now.
They do it.
It's crazy because there are channels out there that just do completely AI.
Oh, I know.
And that's like insane to me. Like they just create channels and they just do the same thing over and over.
Yep. I've watched those videos on how to do that. Never done it, but I've literally watched those videos. Like that's possible where you're just recreating the same video 1,000 different times, like with like a slight change, and somewhere the algorithm will catch it and you'll get paid. I didn't do it that you guys know of.
All right. We're going to go on to our next one. It's going to be, there are no hidden gems left for games.
There are no hidden gems left.
Agree or disagree?
Everybody, it's hard. That question, the reason people were all thinking is if we're all in the YouTube scene, they've been done so much by so many YouTubers. I would say Metal Jesus is probably the first one that really kind of popularized the hidden gems category.
Yeah.
Hey,
I'm having a hard time with
there
that.
There are no hidden gems left. I'm going to say I disagree.
I disagree.
Yeah.
Billy has a disagree. Chris has a disagree. I have a disagree. Ricky?
I feel like it is a disagree.
Okay, let's hear from Ricky first. You're so quiet over there.
Oh, because, dude, someone always pops up a game that I never heard of, and it's always like a great game, especially like lately it's been the Wii and the Wii U. I'm like, oh my gosh, those are great games. But like, if you keep it going, it's like there's a ton of games we haven't heard of. Even Switch right now, I'm finding like Switch games that are amazing. I'm like, this came out 2-3 years ago. I never even heard of it.
I'll say even for us, like being in like the Nintendo and Super Nintendo world, Genesis world, every once in a blue moon.
Yeah.
Once a year, there'll be one where I'm like, how have I never seen that Nintendo? I've never heard of this Nintendo game. Why has this not been on my radar? And somewhere, somehow, someone throws up some gameplay and you're like, oh, that looks like a good game. And it's not been, I feel like the original batch of hidden gems was like Bucky O'Hare. What were some of the other ones?
That was
like
a hidden gem for me because we went over Bucky O'Hare recently and I was like, I never
played it. This guy played it like a week ago. He's like, I've never played that.
Yeah. Well, things like Metal Storm. And
Metal Storm.
Yeah.
Hammer and Harry.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm with you, Ricky, though, on the Switch titles. Like, there are so many Switch games coming out right now that you can't play them all. So, like, give it a couple of years, and you're like, people are going to come back and be like, that was an amazing game.
Exactly.
But I'm hearing new title Switch games all the time, and I see them. I'm like, what the heck is this?
Absolutely.
I think once we're diving into the realm, too, of, like, indie developers, because that's huge now, there's just so much that's under the radar because they're not getting the exposure.
Exactly. And what's great about it is that we're getting retro-inspired games. We're getting games like... where they're almost spiritual successors to the games that the classics that we grew up with, because those people grew up on those games and now they're making games.
I'm curious to know what you thought of Shredder's Revenge, because
I thought it was amazing.
Funny enough, do you remember when the trailer dropped? I texted you and I was like, you should do a reaction video. And I remember you did a reaction video and it did good. And did you do this? April?
Oh my God. I'm going to do a reaction video one time where it's like I'm watching it like that and I just explode. And like halfway through it, I explode and I'm just not there the rest of the time.
Yeah, it's just part of your head bleeding out the whole time and the video plays.
Yeah, I'm just,
it's a great idea.
All right, I'm going to do that. That's like, a great idea. I literally just thought of that right now.
And you should do about a game that doesn't even exist, just something you know will get clicks. Like they remade the Gremlins, you know.
I should have done it with the GTA 6 trailer. Oh. I should have done it. Oh my god, it's Bonnie and Clyde. And then it's just like a bleeding stump the whole time. The rest of the freaking trailer.
Did you know that broke the record on YouTube? That trailer?
I'm not surprised.
It's the most viewed video in one day ever in history, beating Mr.
Wow.
Beast.
Wow.
It was almost like 100.
We're all just a bunch
billion of million or something. I can't remember. It was something stupid.
We're all just a bunch of degenerates, man.
Just a trailer.
I'm excited.
And what's everyone got to do? I didn't even know it was out until Gabo sent it to me.
I didn't know either.
He's like, this is out. I'm not going to lie. I watched the trailer and I was super bored. It was like a music montage.
I didn't even watch it.
Nothing happened. They played it and it was just like people walking and stuff. I'm like, what? Okay.
You know, it's funny. Like I love San Andreas. I played that, and you know I'm kind of in the city right now where it was inspired by, which is cool. But I loved that game. Didn't really like all the other ones that came out. I didn't really like the last one that came out until I got into the
mods,
online stuff.
Oh yeah,
that's when it was got fun, because you can get all your friends together and just kind of like just
be reckless.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I would just do stuff like think I'm gonna pick this car up and go up the mountain, and then I'm gonna get my little on a motorcycle. I'm gonna go up the mountain. Then I'm just gonna jump off the mountain on the motorcycle. And it's gonna be super cool.
Are you okay, Billy?
No, I wasn't. Like, I don't care about doing heists or anything. I just want to go up on the mountain.
Was he trying to get outside? Just go on a walk. This would be nice.
Yes, absolutely. Because I don't have mountains where I live.
So. And there's literally like a mountain lion that just while he reaches the mountain.
Yeah, was in a game.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's awesome. They do. Yeah, wow.
Me and Eric would like led this last game, because you'd go in. They're like at the top of the mountain, and then like there was this like certain part where there was like these weird like hieroglyph things, and me and him were just sitting there online trying to figure out, like, wait, is this alien stuff? Like, are they
the most game chaser thing I've ever heard. This has got to be aliens. I listened to your guys' last one about that, by the way. It was cracking me up in my run. That was fantastic.
That's funny, because like literally the next one is about GTA. So.
Oh, whoa.
And what's funny is I bought a dune buggy, but it's like a kit car. I bought my kit car because of GTA, because I could steal them in San Andreas.
So, you have a problem.
Yeah. I was like, I gotta get it, dude. It's one of my favorites. All right, so this one is the creator of GTA said this: GTA is right for wanting to charge per hour for gameplay.
I heard about this. Did you hear about this?
No.
I disagree too.
No.
Big disagree. Look at Billy's holding it out.
Like, how is that even, like, how is there one person that would be okay with that?
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. Because
we even asked Brixton, right? What did he say the other night?
So we asked my son, right? A 13-year-old kid, right? That's the perfect person to ask. He's in the new gen. He just literally doesn't care about retro stuff. Like, he would have the most current mindset of kids playing games. And he said it in our studio, and Brixton, my son, looked over and he's like, what? Like, he was almost like flabbergasted. Who says that word? But he was just like, what? Like, charge per hour? He's like, no way. I feel like if anything, maybe it'll get people to play less games more and go outside more, which could be good, but it's like, you're going to take away your audience from falling so deep into the game, because I feel like you're forcing addiction at that point.
Wait, so are they like no initial like cost? It's just like you just get the game and I don't, how's this
so
work?
Basically it like the thought is, because they put so many hours into this game, that they should be charging for that amount of time that they put into
it. How about you just charge up front, right, whatever you think is like.
Think of our YouTube channels. Can we charge? Be like, oh, we should charge people for an hour because I put my blood, sweat, and tears in this. No, that's not how things work. In fact, YouTube's free. Help.
I mean, because like.
Exactly.
That would be insane. Like, you just pay for 100 hours and then it's like, what if you leave the game running? Then you're.
You know what's interesting about that concept, though, is like, if you think back to the arcades, like, you were going in there to pretty much pay for your time. I mean, it was maybe lives or something, but some of the games were like you would put quarters in and then the time would run out. And then the home consoles came out, like Nintendo and stuff, and all of a sudden that was gone. That's why the arcades almost died.
Yeah. But also,
so it's almost like bringing that back.
But think the arcades too.
Not that I agree with that. I don't like it
either. I don't either.
But the huge difference here with that, and let's say a game like GTA 6, right? Say you do waste a crap ton of money playing per hour, air quotes for audio listeners, right? For an arcade game. There's an eventual end. Like, you beat it. You kind of can get through it. It might cost you maybe even $100, let's say, the hardest game. But GTA is an open world sandbox game where they're like, you're asking to jack up people's their money, their finances. You're asking for kids to beg their parents, and you know, just you're going too far because there's no end necessarily in a game like GTA.
Because this has been in development it's got to have been at this point like 6 or 7 years,
and it's still 2 more years out,
probably longer. Wow. I think GTA 6 almost been like 10 plus years now, or GTA 5
was, I think it's like a decade.
It's been crazy how long they've been on that game.
Gosh, that's crazy.
I hate the idea so much, though, because that Call of Duty would follow suit then, too.
Everybody.
A lot of these games
I would think that
suit.
To supplement that stuff, like if people, like, I'm not a big fan of microtransactions, but if you really feel like you need to put in things to generate money, microtransactions. Put in
but
things
at least
that people
you have a choice,
buy.
Though, with that. Like with time, then you don't have a choice.
Right.
Or just, hey, look, just charge more for it.
Yeah.
Just charge more for it.
If when you know it's a massive.
When we were growing up, games were different prices.
They were.
Oh,
I think I heard that they were
like
going to.
$80 back then, and that's a lot for back in the day.
Did anyone else hear that they were going to charge $150 for GTA 6?
No, I didn't hear
I heard
that
actually. I heard that it was going to be $150, and I actually was like, shoot, I'll pay it.
Imagine if they charge $150 and then per hour.
Yeah, but I mean, like, don't think about it. Like, you guys even back then paid for retro games about that price.
That's if you adjust for inflation, $150. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what games, you were paying for Atari games back in the day? I remember. I used to go to Bradley's and they were like $40, $50 mm-hmm. bucks then for an Atari game.
Yeah, so which equates to $80, $90.
Okay, now
$100 now.
Now here's to throw a wrench into the spoke because I have no other thing to say. If you pay, right, we're in modern games, retro games. The thing is, most of those games, well, at least the popular ones, like a GTA 6 would be compared to a Mario World, right? Like, it's the big game of the time. Mario World is complete and running perfectly. Say you're paying per hour GTA 6, and you run into a bug for 45 minutes where your thing's not, and you're like, dude, this isn't fair. I'm paying for this hour, and it's modern times. Oh, that was a bug. It's not fixed. Sorry. Do you get your money back for that hour? How's it work? How do you prove it? I feel like there's so much that can fall into this. Or a kid, like Curtis says, is 5 years old and he turns on his dad. Consoles turn on now if you tell him to turn on. Hey, Xbox on, PlayStation, whatever. And turns on, it's running for 4 hours.
So where did this come from, this idea of them charging?
It was more of just like one of the creators of GTA made that statement.
Yeah, I just don't see how that's logistically possible. Because of what you just
said.
Gosh. That's what the expansion
but I think it was
for.
More of them just saying literally. It because of the fact that they've put so much time in, they felt the need to say that. Right,
right. Yeah, I don't think that they could. I don't think that.
I think it's just blowing smoke, you know? Yeah.
I would hate it so much as well because a lot of times now I fall asleep playing video games.
Yo, no.
I'm literally with the controller in my hand.
Yo, you're must fall not fall asleep.
Yo, he's going to get roasted running. In the comments. Chris is just falling asleep.
Yeah. Old man Chris.
Honey, I owe $100 on GTA.
Oh, the card was just running.
Hey, when my son was probably like 3 back in the day, I had a game on, like a mobile game. And it wasn't his game. He doesn't have a tablet, but he was by my thing. And all of a sudden, I get a call and it's from like Google Play. And they're like, there's been like $10,000 charged on your card in the last hour. My son was just clicking the chess button just because he was bored. Bing, 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 bing. Oh, look. They gave us all our money back. But just saying, in situations like that, you run into so much, you know, with that.
Yeah, and there's so many stories of that, too, with, like, kids grabbing their parents' phone and just buying
all
those
things. I still don't let my kids use my phone, that's why. Yeah.
Dude, you were probably like this with them right after.
I pulled a Homer Simpson on it. Yeah.
All right, we're going to go into our next topic. It's going to be the importance of physical media.
Oh, we can put these down.
Now, we're bringing up this topic because, I mean, obviously, you have a big role in producing your own movie and also a new one that's coming out soon. Kind of give us the background of like what it kind of takes to go into creating your physical media like Blu-ray.
Yeah, man. Is it simple? Is it easy?
No, no. The problem is that, physical media has become so niche. A lot of the companies that would, you know, have, plants that would do them, they've stopped doing it. They've become too niche and more expensive because, well, it's more of like a, as I said, a niche thing. I've said niche like 5 or 6 times.
Keep it going.
Let's keep going.
We'll keep going.
At least you're not cussing.
No. Yeah. So
that's his filler word.
Right.
Niche,
right.
Niche. Niche.
Yeah. So. When we do the physical, like I have like some Blu-rays being manufactured right now. They're not even in the country. Mm. They're outside of the country. I don't even know where, because the company that I go with, we've been doing DVDs and Blu-rays with him for 10 years now. Mm. He hasn't told me, but he actually has to outsource that stuff now, because there used to be a plant in Texas that did it, and it's they don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Because so many people just digital. Blu-ray sales drop and physical media sales drop. So plants that make them
drop.
Yeah.
So that's
why do you think why do you think there's such an importance on like maintaining physical media?
Oh, well, because I don't feel like I own anything until I actually own it. Mm-hmm. Like I have it in my hands. Like I have a huge physical media collection with games and movies as well. All my favorite movies, or even things that like I just kind of like I want to like if I I'm like this is kind of like a blind buy, I've never seen it, but you know, I want to check it out, I oftentimes just go ahead and get it on Blu-ray physically, because the amount that you spend on digital just to rent it or buy it, you can just put that towards just owning it anyway. So I'm like, whatever, I'll just buy it. And I think that's important for multitude of reasons. I mean, what just happened with Sony? You know, they're taking, you know, the things that you bought with your money, and they're saying, oh, bye.
Yeah, and they're saying basically to the way the only to play those games is to purchase the physical media, right? And like,
yeah,
that's kind of insane. Like, you got to buy the game twice just to play it.
And that's ridiculous. But also, like, for me, like I'm a big proponent of not. Can I use my first cuss word right here?
You have three for the podcast.
Okay, I have three. All right. So I'm a big proponent of not with art.
Sounded so like
that was a big one.
Hold on 1 second. Okay,
just kidding. So yeah, too many companies are teetering on the edge of like, we're going to edit these movies because we think that people are going to be offended by them now.
Oh, gosh.
And so we can't... I'm sorry. No. Stop.
Yes.
I can't stop it. I can't stop Disney from being...
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Was that my second?
That doesn't count. Okay. It doesn't count because I firmly agree. Okay.
But what I can do is make sure that like I help preserve it in a way. So... As cheesy as that might sound, and I don't look at myself as some sort of library of movies, but if it's something that I want to own and I'm like, you know, I appreciate this movie. Mm-hmm. I think it's a special thing. I enjoy it. And I think it's something that just kind of should be preserved. You know, I'll own it physically and nobody can mess with that.
Is there one that scares you more than the other, like the video game side of everything going digital or the movie side of going digital?
The movie side, because
really,
yeah, I mean, because I mean, you look at some of the classic movies. I mean, look, you AMC, you know, American Movie Classics. You know, they'll put a movie up and they'll say like, hey, content warning. You know, they'll say, hey, you know, sorry, but this thing has something that might make you offended because you're.
Yeah.
So
I didn't even know about that, to be honest. And the other day I turned on a show and it gave me a warning, and it was like for something so dumb. And I was like,
exactly.
You're just making people be offended at this point. I feel like you're trying to make people
exactly.
hurt.
Exactly.
It was like the dumbest thing. I couldn't remember what it was, but I was like, I had to like search for it. And be like, is that the thing that was supposed to be offensive?
Yeah, right. And so like once you start going down that route, how, at what point do you start going towards like, well, you know, we're just not going to even take the chance. Let's just get the TV edited version of this, or just like whatever. We'll pretend like that movie doesn't even exist anymore, you know, because I think we're, you know, in a way we're in an age of almost like a book burning age.
Yeah.
To where, but instead of book burning, you're throwing out all the old.
Yeah.
Art. The art. And because it doesn't fit with your sensibilities. And I think that's a very dangerous thing. And so I would say that is more important. That's just, you know, overall a more important issue with society, as opposed to just like, oh, I want to play that game, but it's only a digital and they took it off. That sucks.
And do you think that video games, though, will go another PS5, right? Where PS5, Xbox, what, Series X, PS6, do you think digital will be the only option? Do you think we have another generation? 100%. Do you think this is the final frontier?
I feel like that in most senses. Like, I feel for console generation, yes. I don't think Nintendo will, though.
Mm.
I honestly think Nintendo will stick with the physical, but also have their digital.
I hope so.
What are they doing again this time? Nintendo's wild, bro.
Yeah.
NES cart. Think about it. NES cart, Super Nintendo cart, N64 cart.
DS.
We got Wii, we got GameCube, small little discs, then regular discs, and then now the Switch back to little carts. So I feel like they could go any direction.
Whatever they do with the Switch 2, I just hope it's backwards compatible. I want to be able to play my Switch games.
Do we want a Switch 2, or do we just want new console?
Whatever it is.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Allow it to play those cards.
I feel like Switch 2 title scares me because it reminds me of Wii U. Right? It reminds me of like people not being excited to go buy it.
I don't think that's a term that they come up with. That's just a term that we've come up with.
The internet.
Yeah.
The internet's come up.
I don't think that's not, they'll probably call it, you know, the Nintendo gobbledygook. I don't know, for whatever, but you know.
What's your actual guess? Give me a guess. Right now, you're Nintendo. Billy, we need you to come name the next Nintendo console.
The Nintendo Taint.
Perfect. I like it. Chris, what do you think they're going to call it?
Oh, man. I don't know. I think Nintendo Galaxy.
Nintendo Galaxy. I'm going to say Nintendo Edge.
Ooh. They're going to stick with Switch. They're just going to go the Ultra Switch.
Ooh, the Ultra Switch. Yes, Chris.
Me? You want me to go?
Yeah, I want you.
They're just going to go with Nintendo Switch 2. That's all they're going to do.
Nintendo Switch U. Switch U.
I guess, with, you know, kind of going back to the physical media part, what are some of the drawbacks you think that come from producing your own movie, like for physical media aspects?
Also, you had a question too after we'll get to.
With the drawbacks?
Yeah.
For producing physical.
Physical, yes.
I really can't think of any.
Costs, maybe?
Costs.
Well, I mean, sure, costs.
How about like processing raw footage and all that stuff?
The problem we've run into is that we took the money and
ran
to do the wait, what? the problem with us is we took the money in to do the physical media, and then COVID hit, and then inflation hit, and now that doesn't pay for it all.
Mm-hmm.
But usually the final, it covers itself. You know, once you sell all the physical media, the only thing that I could really think of, if I really tried to push it, is just couldn't update it. Mm. You know, if there's something like, that's my third one, isn't it?
That's it. You're out.
Dang, you are out.
That counts as one, too. That's four.
Dang. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I'm just going to beat you over here.
This whole segment, I'm just tossing it. No,
dang.
I'm kidding.
No, you can't update it. So if there's that piece of like, I wish I would have included that on the Blu-ray.
I wish you could turn Yoda CG.
No, never turn anything CG. If there's that one piece of like that deleted scene or that director's commentary or just whatever.
But then you get to re-release it at a higher price.
Yeah. the super box set.
Yeah, the super box set.
Do you do the editing for your movies?
I do.
That's pretty sweet.
I remember.
Which one takes so long?
Come on, Billy. You had a question.
Well, no, I was just to comment on the physical media. Like, I feel like it's important that the customer, like us being the consumer, like the physical is much more important than to us. I feel like the companies, like they don't have the cost. They can just release it digitally. They control it. They own it. They want to turn it off. It's really us as consumers that need to be like, no, we want to own it. But if those companies decide that they want to just release everything digital, I don't know what say we have in it, unfortunately, which is kind of like, unless we just say, well, we're not going to buy it digitally then unless you release it physically.
Now,
but I don't know that enough people would do that.
Yeah. Would that come down to like maybe like a third party outside of Nintendo, the people who are like the developers are creating like those games? Do you think it lies on them to produce it?
I mean, it does open up maybe a market for like kind of like what Limited Run Games has done and Premium Edition games where you're taking that digital content and putting it on physical, if you can get the rights to do that, though. But then somebody has to go and purchase the rights and stuff. But you can obviously see why these, you know, Sony and Nintendo would be motivated to just say, well, we'll just release it digitally. We can sell just as much. We don't have to print it. And then, you know, we want to turn the spigot off on that. We're done with it. Adios, see ya. But for us as the consumer, then, like, we have no control over that stuff.
That's true.
Which, if we, you know, you bought a physical game, you own it, you can sell it, yep. You can collect it, you can do all those things. Those are advantages to us. But not advantages to Sony.
It's no, like the new generation. That's what they like the fast everything, but they don't understand it. They're like, dude, they don't understand that you lose all the value. And on top of that, they're still charging you the same price, yet they don't have to do any of that extra work.
They don't have
work.
To do anything.
So and why not knock it off $10?
No. And they can charge add-ons to it. So I think we're in like that weird conundrum where like those companies are kind of like, well, do consumers care? Do they not care?
It's all they're kind of feeling us out. Because they got rid. They made a TV remote. People started to not want to get off the couch.
And if you think about it, like if a GTA 6 right now, if they said, hey, you know what? We're not going to release this on disc. Sorry, guys. How do you think that would like affect their sales? I don't think it would affect their sales
none.
At all.
None.
Yeah.
I think it's just certain games though, right? Like, I mean, GTA, it was one of the most selling games ever.
Yeah. And,
right?
And
yeah, five.
And the you know, you would have a percentage of people that say, hey, I'm not gonna get this because it's not on disc. I think that would be a
tiny
bit
of 1%, if that.
Right, that tiny bit. All right, now is it worth just screwing over those people now that you don't have to actually take this and make physical discs? You don't have to take this to the manufacturer and make. Impress physical discs, because it's not like, again, as you were saying, it's not like you're paying more or they're charging more for the physical disc. They're not making up that cost. They're not charging, you know, $100 to buy it physically, and so it makes up the cost of having them made physically. It's a wash. It's still the same price. So
that's hard.
It's there's going to be a matter. There's going to be a point where I think there's going to be a company that's just like, you know what, screw it. We're just going to do this digitally.
Man, that
maybe great. It might be
next one.
It might be GTA 6.
I feel like that's very difficult though. Cause it's like, I feel like you can only do that if you know that you're going to have that hype. Right.
And
they have that hype.
They have but the hype
as like companies like Nintendo, Sony, and they're shutting down their console online stores. Do you think that might push younger generations to want to go towards physical media?
I don't know who's shutting down stores. I don't even know.
No, yeah. PlayStation is trying to shut down their
3DS
online
store. I think just shut down.
The Wii U store is trying to shut down.
I just signed up for premium.
Oh, no. But I mean, like,
like 180.
Do you think that might like put an importance on physical media for younger generations that are coming up?
I mean, I know typically in the world things go in waves, but I don't know if that will.
I don't think so, because they're not nostalgic for it now.
They didn't grow up with it. So
yeah, 20 years from now, yes.
Yeah,
but 20 years from now, when they want to play that game and it's not on physical media, then they're gonna be like, oh, sorry.
That was like a half. That was like Mike Tyson.
Yeah,
the Jar Jar Binks.
but right now they're probably like, whatever. I played that. I don't care. They don't have that nostalgia.
Yeah,
you know, the only one thing that maybe you could gauge it is, I wonder with the sales of consoles for like the Microsoft Series X versus S. I wonder what has sold more. I don't know that number. Or the disc version of PS5 versus the
I don't know.
Versus the download.
X versus S.
And I'm sure they're looking at that numbers, and I'm wondering if they go, well, geez, we're still selling a lot of console, you know, disc-based versions. Because I know from my store perspective, when we get an S in versus an X, obviously the S is digital only, the X plays disc. Everybody still does want, more people want, the disc version.
Well, if you go to, I mean, the best way to think of that is if you go to any Target right now or Best Buy, whatever, you can buy an S. you can't buy an X.
Yeah.
So, I haven't seen an X in years.
So I guess that's the only way still right now before they're just like, well, we don't even have that option anymore. Where hopefully they're seeing those numbers and going, oh, okay, people still do like the physical version of this. You hope.
And on top of that, like, you know, your console can only store so much. So when you get like 10 games, even right now, a console, if you store 10 games, it's like you're pushing it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you can only give so much storage. So I'm like, dude, what, I have to delete my other games just so I can get that?
My brain doesn't understand tech very well at all, but it does boggle my mind that, you know, back in the day, Super Nintendo, you can buy as many games as you want, pop it in and play.
Yeah.
But even on PlayStation, you put the disc in, puts all this information in your system, you take it out and it's still in there. And it's like, oh, you can only do like six more of these. And it's like, wait, what? Like, but then the disc isn't in there anymore. Why is it still taking up so much room? You got to, there's nothing worse than having to delete things in order to play again. And you're like, what? I feel like it doesn't feel right.
So it makes the point of like, why even bother with physical media? If it's because like, if you, some, a lot of games where it's like, you know, whatever, 45 gigs or whatever, you put it in, it's just like, you know what? It's just faster if we read this from the hard drive. So we're going to download it and put it on the hard drive and not even read it from the disc because, you know, optical media is slower.
Yeah.
And so it makes it, it almost makes it, it kind of is obsolete, really. I mean, physical disc drives are obsolete when it comes to, that's why the Switch or Nintendo went to the Switch, the SD cards.
Yep.
Because they're quicker and they store more memory. Yeah.
And I think that's what's going to probably maintain over time is because I was just talking about my coworker today who I didn't even know played video games. He said that like him and his wife play Switch, even like when they're traveling, they take their little cartridge and they just put it in. And I feel like having that availability, because you can't really get data on a drive, right?
Yeah.
You're still going to need a physical game to play it. But since they have pretty much made their console dynamic to where it can go on the go and it's still an enjoyable experience, that I feel like they're the ones that are probably going to keep creating the market for what's going to be coming. Because, I mean, we know that developers like Grand Theft Auto, they're going to thrive. They have that hype. They've had the influencer hype behind it. And I can see that being the only online thing. Even Call of Duty is one of those titles that people are either going to buy it or they're going to hate it. You know what I mean? So I feel like Nintendo might be the one that might push us through, you know?
I think so, too. And another reason is Nintendo still does a lot of collector's sets.
I love that.
Physical collectors, like big box kind of things. I don't see Sony and Microsoft really doing much of those. With Xbox 360, they did a million of them. Huge statues.
Find them all the time.
All the different things you got with it. And I can't even remember the last time. I don't think I've seen a PS5 version of anything.
PS4
like
is it?
Yeah, PS4 Mortal Kombat some. Does it. Mortal Kombat did it for
PS4. Did they come out with a collector set?
Yeah, they came out with the helmet. Remember that blue helmet? PS4. Yeah, but I mean, like, I'm just saying, like, in general, like, through the consoles, they do come out with, like, limit of like statues still for it,
which you have to have the game with it. I couldn't see them just being like, here's a stat, maybe yeah. They could
basically
just
this
statue,
is what they give you. They give you a hard case that, or a steel case is what they call it, and then they go, okay, here's your game in it, and then here's the downloadable code.
Yeah,
a lot of that is especially with like RPGs.
Oh yeah,
RPG collectors love that.
Oh yeah, they love the statues,
booklets and statues.
Final Fantasy does a great job of that type of stuff.
I'm still salty that they didn't do Mario RPG as a new Switch game as a collector's. I purposely didn't buy it yet because I was like, I think they're gonna make something for it, but they didn't. So I think I just have to buy it.
Now, when you worked at Blockbuster, is there any like really like fun or cool stories that you have like that, you know? You want to talk about?
He has one in his can right now. He's debating if he can say it.
I definitely can't tell you this story.
Oh, okay.
It was funny. That was the first one that popped in my head. Was the one that I can't say.
Of course.
It involved purchasing undergarments. But anyway.
Nice.
That's hilarious.
Second thing that popped in my head. We used to, like, you know, it would be the crew, me, Jay, and Rufus, and Rob a lot of times. Not this particular time. He was going to come in the next day. But what we would do, like, we were so dumb. I don't even understand why we would do this. But we were just, like, I think Clerks, but worse. Like, we would – and we were really, like, super into wrestling. So, like, you know, for just a little backstory, you know, Blockbuster would close at 12 o'clock at midnight.
Yep.
Yep.
And oftentimes we would have You know, people still returning movies and trying to get them in before that little, you know, 12 o'clock cutoff. Sometimes they'd make it, sometimes they weren't, wouldn't. But for maybe like a good 1 to 2 hours after midnight, it was the store cleanup time. So we would have to take all the movies that people had just turned in, put them up on the wall, vacuum all the janitorial stuff, and just make sure, you know, manager would count the money and make sure nobody was stealing shit.
You're good.
You just doubled down.
You're fine. Honestly, hey, hey, this whole segment, it's just...
Poor Curtis.
I'm just going to have to go through it with a comb.
Mega Man sound effects. What sound effect would you like over your language? Would you like what from what game?
The Mario 3 coin.
Okay, Mario 3. You got Mario 3.
You're going to have to send me a little bit.
That's a classic.
All right, back to it.
Yeah, so... we're all into wrestling, and I don't understand why we thought this was a good idea.
Yeah,
but we decided to go into the back closet, and what they would often do is the new movies that were supposed to be put out for new releases the following week, they would send us beforehand. You know, you got to get them beforehand. You can't get them the day of release and try to put them up on the shelf. That's just dumb. So we would get them, you know, week before. It would be the VHSs in the shells, and then like also like the cover, like the cardboards that would, you know, you'd put in, you know, if you remember Blockbuster, you know, you would have the cardboard sleeve and then behind it all the little clamshells that you could rent. So we have the movies in these boxes, the new releases that were like probably maybe it was something like Titanic or like
He went even further back.
No, that one Drew Barrymore movie, and then like Star Trek Insurrection, that was another big one. But anyway, yeah, we would have these in the closet, and
all we heard is Star Trek erection. All of us heard
erection. Star Trek erection. Yeah. But we're like, you know, we didn't have anything to do this night. I guess it was just like a slow night, and we're like, you know what, we want to wrestle, but we don't have a ring.
Oh no!
So we took, like I said, I have no idea why we thought this was a good idea, but we took those boxes, the big boxes that were full of the new releases, drug them out of the closet.
Let's go.
Made a ring. So the ring is those giant boxes full of the new releases.
Let's go.
And we're just suplexing each other onto these boxes, crushing them.
On the boxes?
Onto the boxes, crushing them.
I thought you were going to say you made a ring around you guys and just used it as the ring, not as your landing pad.
I mean, because you can't suplex somebody on the concrete.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it's carpeted, but sure, underneath it's pretty much concrete.
Yeah.
No, we needed some cushions, so we thought the best thing to do was get the new releases. So we did that, and we just crushed the hell out of them.
Did you guys get in trouble?
Well, kind of, because Rob, you know, the guy who's on our channel now, he was the manager that came in the next day, and he was like, he goes into the club, because we put them all back, he was like, why is all the new releases crushed?
The guy that was shipping them did a horrible job.
That's awesome.
And then for some reason, somebody confessed. Somebody confessed. It was like, oh, we were using them as a wrestling ring.
That was so awesome.
So, yeah, we had to put like the new releases up on the shelf that were just like the crushed in and stuff. Like, I don't understand why we did that.
How
but
old
we did
is
it.
The question?
Oh, probably like 30.
Well, all right.
No, I'm just kidding. No, it's 25.
That's 24. Still pretty old, Billy.
No, 23, 22.
He's just going to keep going. So
21.
I was going to give you like 17.
What character were you?
I always was Sting. Like, I even dressed up as Sting, like randomly. So not Halloween, not any reason for it. I went out and got like a trench coat, a black trench coat. I got paint. I painted myself up a Sting. I had somewhat long hair. It wasn't like really long, but it was somewhat long. I dyed it black, and I just worked the entire night as Sting for no reason whatsoever.
Awesome. Yeah. That's amazing.
That is awesome.
And this one kid came in. And I had the baseball bat.
I love it.
And this one kid came in. He's like, "Wow, Sting!" And I'm like, yeah, you haven't seen Hogan, have you? And he was totally.
That's awesome.
He was 100% convinced I was the real Sting.
That is so cool that you let him leave thinking he met Sting there. I love that.
That's a freaking awesome one to end on. All right, we're going to go on to our next topic. It's going to be ranking NES games.
Ooh, Black Box.
Black Box.
Black Box NES games. Billy, have you ever done a tier list? S is best, F is worst?
No.
I've watched a lot of them, but I have not done one.
So you know the rules.
I know. Yeah.
Billy, since you're the guest, why don't you pick a number between 1 and 10?
4.
I mean, he does do a lot of ranking on the channel. Like on Fridays, you do like rank a game, right?
I do. I do a lot of that stuff, yeah.
So, oh, it's Friday.
I've actually done something Black Box, but it was so far removed from now, I don't remember what it was. Good.
And to make it clear to everybody, yes, I think there's 30 Black Box games. We're not doing 30 Black Box. That would take us like an hour and a half.
I'm going to let you old heads take charge on this one.
Yeah, so. Curtis doesn't play this stuff. That doesn't look like Fortnite. All right, Balloon Fight is the first one we pulled up. Billy, let's hear it. Rank it and why.
B.
Why?
It's fun, but for like 10 minutes. It doesn't have any sort of like lasting sort of appeal to me.
Longevity for you.
Exactly.
Christoph?
Yeah. I've only played it a couple times. It was pretty fun. But
is this going to be one of those lists where you're like, I haven't really played it?
No, I played a lot of these. This one, but for the same reason Billy said, I think I played it and I was like, oh, this is a pretty cool game. And for 10 minutes, and then I never played it again.
Okay.
So I'd give it a C.
C. Ricky?
I didn't play it that much either. I'm going to give it a...
Give it what you want, bro.
Give it a D.
Ricky hates
what
it.
What the...
That's a really good game. I want to say more. I'm going to go a C as well. I want to say B. I do like the bouncing mechanics. It kind of reminds me of Joust, how you kind of like... Beep, 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 beep. But I'd say I'm more in love with the music of it.
Do we factor in if it was two players or not? Because I think if it's two players, it's higher.
Yeah, I mean, that's most games, though, right? I mean, most games you can factor in a little
Well,
higher.
Not Contra, or Battletoads. Oh, my God.
Well, that's not fair.
Yeah.
So you went D, C, C, B. That's a what? That's a good
C.
That's a good C, C moment. That's not a good rating. I'm sorry, Black Box fans out there.
I almost feel bad. I'm sorry.
Don't feel bad, Ricky. You know what you want to do instead? Talk about this game. Kung Fu. Billy took a deep breath, but Ricky, I want to hear you, bro.
I used to love this back in the day, but honestly, I played it again. It's probably more of a...
Be real, bro.
All right. It's more of a C nowadays. It's very repetitive. Very repetitive, but I didn't notice it as a kid until I played it again. I was like, wow,
I feel like this list is going to be hard. These Black Box games, a lot of them don't play well going back to them.
I know.
I'm going another C. I do like Kung Fu, though. I will say I like it, but I'm just thinking of would I want to go back and play it for the next 30 minutes.
Is our mindset now or back in the day?
It has to be now.
Exactly.
Because back then, everything's going to be an A, right? Half of them are going to be S's if you do. But I'm just going real C. Billy or Chris?
I want to look what else is on the list.
Oh, you want to see what else is on the list before you rank it? You don't want to skew it too high?
No, that's actually funny because I was thinking like... I know a lot when it comes to a lot of the
battle. I put all the ones game, you know.
I would put that as an A.
Kung Fu.
Oh. Yeah, I would. And it's kind of a contradiction because like after 10 minutes, you're kind of done with it. But man, it's so the nostalgia I have with Kung Fu.
Heavy.
And I'm just comparing it to a lot of like Black Box games, which they're not good. And because of that, I'm going to put it as an A.
Hey, I like that. It's a great explanation, actually.
I had to look what else there was.
That's cheating, Chris.
Because there are some other good Black Box games. But honestly, in my opinion, this is actually an S for me. I really love Kung Fu. I actually was talking about this recently because somebody was saying how good Karate Kid was for the NES. Kung Fu, in my opinion, was way better than Karate Kid, first off. But I also have fond memories of this when I was a kid going over to one of my best friend's house. And I can still picture like it was yesterday. Maybe he only had this game and maybe Duck Hunt. Like he had two games
Everybody
at his house.
Duck Hunt.
Yeah. And so we just always played this game. And I probably beat this game 10 different times. But I loved the little like
I'm just glad you beat the game.
I loved all the mechanisms of it. And it just got harder as you progressed. I think there was 5 levels to it.
Couldn't Karate Kid, though, you do like the ice Yeah. Thing, and also, and like the
fly,
thing
the fly things.
But he had the little kick too, the little thing, and it depended on what was coming at you.
I do like the sweep kick on this game.
Yeah, the sweep kick. Yeah. So to me, it is an S. I love this game.
Yeah, it's totally like just it's just a memorization game. Like once you memorize where everything is.
Yeah, like the snakes dropping and the whatever
that
else
puts it around like a B, mid B, because high B because Ricky and I were a lot lower. But all right, here we'll go to one that I'll shoot Popeye. Ricky, Popeye.
I like Popeye. I like it. I'm going to put that one at a B. I actually really enjoyed this game back in the day. So even now.
I'm looking at the rest of the black box, and I do think of these, this would be my S.
Wow.
I love the Popeye game. I think it's far superior than like a Donkey Kong style game, anything like that. I don't know if I played it more necessarily, but I definitely enjoy this game. Like right now, if I had to pick one of these games, that's the game I'm going back to is Popeye.
Now you're not. Now you're not basing that more off of the arcade, are you?
No. Okay. I actually only played it NES.
Okay.
I don't think I've only played it arcade. Was the arcade different than the NES version? I thought it wasn't. Maybe it is.
I think it's roughly the same. I mean, it's pretty much the same game. Yes. I'm sure there's some slight differences with the NES version, but like off the top of my head, I can't think of what it is.
And it's pretty much just Donkey Kong, pretty much, right?
It's better.
Yeah, but it's the same thing. You got to get to the top. And
yeah, but it doesn't, I don't know. I feel like what I like about it is, and I feel like in Donkey Kong, there's so much to get to the top that I don't like how Mario feels so small. I like on this that you're like level playing field, your size with like Brutus or whatever. I always forget his name. Is it Brutus or Bluto?
I always called it Bluto.
Bluto,
see,
maybe.
I don't. Pluto. Ricky, what was it? You know?
Pluto.
You guys got me confused.
Whatever. I like that their sprites are all kind of similar size. It's my more style. So
that was Brutus.
Billy?
Skeletor.
Skeletor. I like his voice.
No, I would put I'd put it as a B. Like I like it. I like it. You know what's funny? A lot of these black games, black
dot. That counts as a strike too.
You're good.
Something about these black games really.
Please edit that. Something about these black box games, like it's funny because it's like after about 5-10 minutes or 15 minutes, with it, you're kind of done. So it's kind of, I'm thinking like, judge it by that.
Yeah.
No, I'd put it at a B. It's a good game.
It is interesting. I feel like we are all more quiet in this ranking for once, because I feel like we're all really thinking, or almost like our brains think they're better until we see them all. We're like, oh, it's not really, they're not really the best games.
I've only played like two of them.
What did you go, Rick?
B.
B?
B. I went S. What'd you do?
Seed my S. So
you see?
I think I'm going to go C.
Okay. Billy, what was yours?
Drag it down.
Mine was B.
I think it's right around the same as Kung Fu. All right. We'll mix it up. Excitebike. I want to say A because I played it so much. It's one of those games when people are like, did you play the Nintendo as a kid? And you're like, heck yeah, dude. I always played Excitebike. It sucks. I don't like it. I played it recently. Over it within two speed ups. I overcharged my motorcycle.
Overheated.
And I was like, I'm done. I'm a solid D. Even though as a kid, I would have said S plus. D.
Solid A, bro.
Really?
Yeah. I enjoyed it. You have to think about this one. Which one you use B or A to go, because you'll overheat yourself. But I used to love it. Actually, I still kind of love it.
Well, that's the point. All right. So you say A?
I say A on this one.
A.
I love it.
What did I say? F?
F.
D.
I said D. That's right, for D.
Okay, W.
I'm going to go S on this one as well. I absolutely love this game. If you get the timing down and you're not overheating, it is really one of the funnest like games, and you get the whole jumping and everything. I also love building my own tracks. Was incredible. Like I just loved it. The music was awesome. The music was so good. Yeah. So to me, it's an S. I played the heck out of this game. I love
it. This is such a divisive game. I'm gonna go with D.
Ooh, oh, him too.
Yeah, because you know what? No, I'm gonna go C.
Okay,
I'm gonna go because again, I'm thinking like some of the other black box games that I would definitely put it to D. I'm gonna go with C on that one. Now it's fine, but like I just don't have a whole lot of fun with it. I've actually played it in a player choice 10 with the joystick, and I thought I liked it a lot better than playing on the NES control.
Interesting.
Bed. Yeah,
that's interesting. Actually, I like that.
I feel like it's because you have to press the buttons on the like the actual pads a little harder. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
What did you went D and then I was S A. It might be lower than where you have it then. Huh?
I think it's right. I think it's
Chris below, is
I
like think it's about the same. Drag it where down,
it's
at, dude.
But maybe it's low, maybe it's
probably right. With thank you, Chris, for being honest. Yeah. Honesty is important. Now the game. This is Duck Hunt. This is interesting. I feel like this could be a little divisive too. Also, I'm going to be real. The dog never bothered me. Everyone always says the dog bothers them. I like that he laughs at me. I like that he makes me feel less than. Put me in my place, duck. If I miss, point and say, you suck, you dumb child. That's what I want it to say. Billy, why don't you start?
A. I'm going to go with A. Kay. Yeah. I was thinking about S, but not really. I mean, it's after three or four rounds, you're kind of done.
Yeah.
And but that was the game. Like, I can't think of any other game I used the zapper for other than Duck Hunt. Well, we never rented any game that required the zapper.
You ever played Gotcha?
Anything. Nope.
Wild never. Gunman?
Nope. Chiller?
Nope.
Gumshoe? Isn't Chiller?
Chiller's awesome.
Chiller is awesome. You're it's probably game. The best one.
Open up your present, Sonny boy.
Chiller. Dude, I got Chiller!
I would have loved to have gotten
yes,
that.
Yes, yeah! Get the off.
Ricky, Duck Hunt.
I'm going to give it a solid A minus.
Okay.
A minus because I love it, but I did hate that dog.
Oh,
but like man, that. It was I just love trying to shoot that dog every time, and I couldn't. All right, go ahead.
Unpopular opinion: the clay shooting game is way better than Duck Hunt.
Oh, I forgot about that. That's part of this game.
I know, but I'm just saying. I never went to Duck Hunt. Duck Hunt with the because of the clay shooting. I'll land it a B. If it wasn't there, I would have dragged it down to like a D. I don't really care for Duck Hunt much.
I always had like two different styles. Like, do I like follow him, shoot it, or just like wait till it gets to a certain spot and go 1, 2, 3. Pop, 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 pop.
Oh.
So it was like, yeah, it was kind of like a, I made my own like game within the game with that one.
Ricky grew up like this, bro, and holding the gun to the side. Hey, you don't talk
that. But that's the thing. It's like this is one of those games we all play because it came with the system.
Oh yeah.
So we all have experience with this one. So this is more compelling to me than the other ones.
Yeah.
Real talk. How close were you guys to the screen? You guys are
very close. Up on it.
I used to cheat too. For me, it's a B. I did like it a lot. But I would get bored of it. But it was probably the only zapper game I think I ever really played.
So. Exactly. Well, it was one of those things where it's like you just played Mario Brothers and now you're kind of bored. It's like, eh, screw it. I'll play Duck Hunt.
100%. Yeah. What was the rankings?
I gave it a B.
A minus.
B, A minus Billy.
I don't even remember.
Billy gave it an A.
I gave it an A.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, God.
Wow, it's number one right
now. It's like the top one. Son of a gun. How did that one end up there? All right, here. Okay.
It's stable, man.
Make sure we see this. This is the original Mario Bros., not Super Mario Bros. For if you guys don't know, look up gameplay online if you don't know the difference. This is obviously the arcade style. Solid A. I think, ready, here comes unpopular opinion. I like this game better than Mario 1. I'm not even that big of a Mario 1 guy. I respect Mario 1, which we'll get to. But A for me.
Nice.
I like it. I love that you could, like, you were competing against each other.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you could... whatever, bonk each other on the head.
So
it was,
great.
Yeah, it was super fun. It was frustrating.
Kill your friend. Jump on him. Jump him so he bounces off.
Yeah, there's a lot of different aspects to it. I don't know if I like it better than Mario 1, though, but I'd give it a B.
Okay,
like
A, B. It.
It's good.
This is tough because the score for me varies vastly whether or not you're playing one to two players. Like with two players, it's...
Yeah. Amazing.
With two players...
Well, let's say with two players because that's an option.
With two players, it's an A with two players. With just one person, it's an E.
Yes.
But, I don't agree with that at all.
You know what? My favorite thing to do was when somebody else was about to jump, that like you hit
the pal sign, flip the thing over.
Yeah. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah. So I don't know if we want to average that and say it's a C or just say it's an A. But
you could
It's A. Oh, well, I know you want to say
it. We'll average it as a C.
You up to just pick a number, a letter?
We'll just go B.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to put F. I'm just kidding. A.
Yeah, no, hammer it.
Actually, I love the game.
This is the highest rating.
It's a great game.
Let's go. So far, it's the highest rating. This is like a solid, pretty
patented,
much, you know.
Chris. Nice.
A little bit above Duck. All right, ready? Let's go with, here we go. Ice Climber. How did they become characters in Smash Bros? Even though I love them in Smash Bros. I
love this game. This is one I actually come back to play.
Oh, Curtis, you want to give it a ranking?
It's an S dog for me. So if you guys want to keep it on there, this is one I actually like enjoy a lot.
Really? Yeah. That's awesome.
So,
Ricky?
I like it. It's a B.
I'm going to go C. I'm going to go C. Not, I don't.
Curtis,
I
don't, you guys suck.
I don't care for
you
it.
You think of the right game, Curtis?
Yes.
It's the one where he plays that guy named Icarus, right? Or Pit?
I didn't play it a ton. Did play it a little bit.
Probably because it's an F.
Camera.
You should.
Would you go?
Hey, but you said you don't play much? Okay, so your ranking's gone.
D. All right. D.
Is it D? Yeah.
Yeah. D. I'm just going to go by the nearest bridge, guys.
Billy?
This game irritates the piss out of me.
Let's go.
Garb. I don't have any nostalgia for it. And the controls, like when you're trying to go up,
we're not even going to find its ranking. We're just going to leave it at E. Oh, guys. Hey, Curtis is going. All right, let's all drop it. Okay. Did anybody, if you grew up playing this, me and my cousin, whenever we see each other, we go like this. That's the sound effect for that entire game. 10-yard fight is on the screen. Nostalgia is an S. Game is an F.
Oh, it's not even close. That's an F. That sucks so bad.
I played it so much. My nostalgia is an S. I'm
I know. You. Hey, look, I understand because I have games. Bible Adventures. It's a terrible
game. I love Bible Adventures.
But it's nostalgic.
I love that game. And I got it signed by the creator of the Brenda Huff, I think her name was.
Yeah, she was. I think she's a game.
Yes, I got her signed. Yeah, yeah. F. It's an F.
I played Tecmo Bowl before this, so
you can't screw that.
Yeah.
You can't go from Tecmo Bowl to
that's
this.
That's like hanging out with Chris before you meet Curtis. Just kidding. I love you, Curtis.
All right, speed run this right now.
I love you, Curtis. You know, right?
Yeah, I know. You're good. Here.
That's like eating nachos and then you go to the kitty litter and just finding what it is. There. Like, you can't do that. That's garbage, man.
What'd you put it at?
I'll be nice. I'll do E.
Oh, don't be nice. Why would you be nice?
Gracious.
Don't be nice.
Ricky, you know we've never had a quadruple F, and you just ruined the chances with that E.
I'm sorry. I'll change back to an F.
No, you cannot.
It's F for me, too. It's terrible.
This is bad. Crazy.
Yeah. I'm not a sports game hater. Like, I like
sports games. I like sports games.
Now it's EFF.
F. EF. You're saying F.
Oh, hot man, garb. That's crazy.
I can't believe something got below ice climbers.
Yo, this is probably the lowest of the low, like out of anything that we've ever voted. That's crazy.
That really is.
Yes.
Okay. Donkey Kong, the biggest Steve Wiebe, whatever, Billy Mitchell. We're looking at Donkey Kong. B for me. I'm not in love with it like most people are. I can play it for a good amount of time, but I don't love it. B.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a frustrating game for me. I like it because of the history of it, and maybe it deserves a little higher just because of that. But for me personally playing it, I get super bored with this game.
Of course, that's for what it is. Of course, it's literally the icon
yeah.
that pretty much can save the Nintendo. But
I'd give it a C. Okay. C for me.
Billy?
This is S tier. It's a simple game. It's an arcade game. But with this game, unlike the other ones on this list, this game, when I die, when I'm over, I actually want to play again.
I do get that, actually. I get that.
And so for that reason, it's an S.
I do like that explanation. I actually agree with that. Ricardo?
B for me. I like it.
How many more passionate
about Billy.
How many more we got on that list?
17.
Jeez.
I'm just kidding. What was yours? So it was S, Billy?
Yes.
I went C.
I went B.
Okay, so it's like it's still not beating the Mario. Don't how many, Curtis, I'll go quick, I promise. All right, ready? I have to hit this. Gyromite, A. I love Gyromite. I quite literally love this game and playing it with Rob. I love it.
I forget, could you play it without Rob?
Yes.
You could.
I think you press select to drop the pillars.
I wish there was a zoom in on like his face. Just like,
you need Rob? No, and he's like. Normally you ask a question for a response
because I think I've only played it with Rob, so I'm trying to think of what the gameplay is without it, and I only played it a couple times with Rob. It was pretty awesome. I'm just always super impressed with any game with Rob.
Curious.
Like, I'm like, this is amazing. I wish they would do something like that
what else again. Goes with Rob?
Stack up is amazing too. Just watching Rob go and do it, I'm like, oh my god, this is unbelievable. I'm going to give it, just because, again, I've played it with Rob and it was pretty impressive, but I'll give it a B.
Okay.
Just remember it being a B.
I didn't really have a whole lot. I briefly played this a little bit with there were some kids across the street. They played all the games before I did, and I went over there. They were playing Gyromite, and they weren't even playing with Rob. They were playing with the second controller.
Oh wow.
For me, it's a C, just average.
Ricky,
I feel like I can't grade it. I think I've only watched people play it. I didn't get to play it.
So ABC lands it right at a B. Okay, Curtis, I promise. Since we're out of time for this one, we will literally just say our grade and nothing else. Wild Gunman, C.
D.
C.
D.
That's kind of boring. I actually want to.
You made me feel like we had to hurt. Oh, shoot. I grabbed the wrong one.
I want a little bit more spice on it.
Okay, fine. Let's go. Let's close out. We had a couple more, but I say we close out with this one right here. Mario Bros. Black Box. Original.
I mean, that's an S, right?
Super S. Mario Bros.
Not for you.
Okay, they say S.
I'm going to go A, just because I like 2 and 3 so much better. But, I mean, it obviously is iconic. I did play the heck out of it.
But for its time, it had all the little secrets and everything. That was amazing. I love that.
It does deserve an S. I'll change it to an S.
I like how Curtis is holding up Ricky's mic.
And thank you, Curtis. And, again, I'm comparing it to all the other Black
Box. Oh, that's true, yes. Games.
Yeah, so.
I shouldn't compare it to 2 and 3.
That is hard, because you're comparing. I have to remember I'm comparing it to other ones.
Yeah.
B for me. Obviously respect what it does. And I've talked about this before. None of you, I think it was you who didn't even know. Now that you can see it, sorry, audio listeners. Look, Mario is dying on the front cover. He is missing his jump, firing into the wall, going into the lava. What a weird, weird thing for one of the most iconic games of all time.
So we had a B-A-S-S. Drop the bass.
Oh, it was a bass. So I think that's number one. So number one landed at Super Mario Bros. Mario Bros. The arcade classic was second place, and all the way at the bottom, 10-yard fight and ice climbers.
Yeah.
I just had to say ice climbers so Curtis heard it. Even though it's not necessary to say what got second class.
Hey, man, at least he didn't get last.
If Rad Racer was on here, Rad Racer.
Rad Racer. I was literally about
Rad Racer. I'm like,
I was going to put it on Rad Racer. F.
I hate it. Rad Racer too.
It's terrible, but I love it. The nostalgia.
I like it until I play it.
Oh, yeah. I hate that game.
Plus, you get to play with the little goggles.
Played with the goggles, Ricky.
That's true.
Hey, look, I'm going down the road. Oh, I flipped over. Yeah, like every 2 seconds.
Game over.
I'm so glad we didn't end that early, because that was awesome to end it like that. All right, so we're going to go on our, like, a little bit of a funner topic. It's called Worst of the Worst, which is basically like, hey, you got pet peeves out in the world. You hate when people do certain things. Like, what is yours? You know what I mean?
This is fun. So, what is your, last time we talked about paper straws. We talked about
people, cutting in line.
People who cut in line, which I filmed right after me cutting in line with Curtis at Panda Express. Remember?
But like, you did pay for my meal. So technically you kind of made up for it. Right. So that was awesome.
Okay. I will just start with one of mine. Make sure you guys have yours ready. Mine is people who are on their phones when you're hanging out with them. Mm. It drives me nuts. I always make jokes to people. I'm like, I didn't drive down here to hang out with the side of your face. I'm like, let me be in this room with you. Chris, I saw you texting earlier.
What are you talking about?
I know that it's, you know, we're in the modern age and you want to check your phone when certain things, but I'm not talking about, oh shoot, I got a text. But when you're hanging out and they're like just scrolling through Twitter for 20 minutes, like, what, why did I come over? Why are we hanging out? I know it makes me an old man, but that's something that's always bothered me.
I was not texting earlier, by the way. I was checking my
notes.
What
were you doing?
Oh. I was checking notes. I actually wanted to look up that Sony PS4, PS5 stuff because I couldn't remember what Sony had.
Okay, that's
because it is unfair. Something. Technically, I have all the notes in front of me. So if he has his own, he's got his own.
And a lot of times I'll have notes on my phone.
In order to not look like it, you have to bring out a tablet. So it doesn't look like you're checking. Otherwise, it just looks like you're on your phone. Billy, do you do that?
No.
Okay.
Oh yes. It depends. It depends on the situation. If like people are just like doing their own thing, like I'm naturally kind of like a hermit to begin with.
Okay.
But I try not to do it. I actively try not to do it because I am with you because, like, don't be in your phone. So I try to not do it myself.
And that's different to what you said. I think it's good to clarify that. Like, if you're at somebody's house and obviously, you know, you're doing different things, they're cooking a meal and you're sitting on the couch and they're obviously not trying to talk to you, go for it. But I'm talking like you're literally sitting at the same dinner table together, yeah, and one of them's on their phone. You're like just looking across like,
yeah,
why are they, what's happening right now? That's my pet peeve. Ricky?
You actually kind of took the one I was going to do, but I'll switch it up because I was going to do phone in the movie theater because my eyes automatically go to a phone every time. I'm like, damn.
Okay, that's just blasphemy for someone to do that, to open a phone during a movie.
So, I'm on my phone in the movie theaters.
Is your brightness down?
I turned the brightness down to nothing, yeah, and I don't think anybody can see it.
Yeah, my eyes
always go to
it. If you
have a super bright phone, yeah, that's absurd.
Oh my gosh,
but brightness down in
your
life.
And you were on your phone. You're 2 for 2 right now of our pet peeves. All right, what was your other one? You said you had a real one.
All right, when you hold the door for someone, they just like stare at you and don't say anything. I go out of my way every time to open the door. Like, oh yeah. Like old people always say yes, but like the newer, like the younger kids.
You know why?
Oh my.
You know how they walk in the door? On their phone and they don't notice you.
And I'm just like,
open.
It shouldn't bother me, but it does. I'm like, dude, say thank you or something.
California thing, because I don't expect
No,
it
is a California.
Oh, it is a California. You are getting, thanks, sugar.
At lunch.
Thank you, sugar.
When I go at lunch and all those high school kids are going to lunch, like they all can walk off campus. What a good privilege they have. But they go over to our shopping center and go to all the food places. I open the door for like multiple of them, and I don't only just get cut in line, but they don't say.
You get smoked sometimes.
I literally open the door for them. They do not even acknowledge you at all. Like they're just, you're just like a door stopper or a door opener.
You know what the best thing to do for that, when somebody walks in, again, you're not doing it to get a thank you, but I get it. But if you're opening the door for someone and they walk in and they don't say anything, I always go, you're welcome. Just like let them know.
I think I'm just too much of an introvert. But like, I'll just be like, yeah, you're welcome. Like I'd say it under my breath.
Well, it's so weird. Because in Texas, it's like it's uncommon for you not to hold the door open for somebody.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like when you're, especially, I just think of an example on my way here. It's like, the gas station, everybody was all, it was like a barrage of people holding the door open for each other as they're both coming in and out. And it's just, like, you don't even think about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something you even think about. It's just something that it's.
There happened. Is a difference. Like when I lived in Texas for a year, they basically implant that in your brain that you better have some type of chivalry or some type of gratitude towards something.
You have no idea how much I drill it into my son's head. Look at people in the eyes. Say thank you. Hold a door. Don't you ever not hold the door open for, you know, someone, you know, especially a woman. But I always say, you know, hold the door open. Say thank you. Say please. I'm an
I drill that into my son's head to say thank you. Like, even if I bring him something, I'll be like, hey, here's your dinner. And then I'll be like, can you just say thank you? And so I don't know. I mean, maybe our parents drilled that into us too. And I think it's very important to drill that into your kids.
I feel like you would do the same thing.
Be appreciative. Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know?
I feel like Chris would do it. But he would like stare for a good minute, like waiting for him to say.
No, I always say thank you for everything. Very appreciative. Thank you.
Good. Oh, yeah. Thanks for saying that.
I would say that one of my worst of the worst is when people park in a handicap and they do not – are not handicapped.
Oh, yeah. I feel like that's big in California.
Oh, my gosh.
Because there's – I will say where we live and the part of area where we live, I'm not going to say the city, but it's very – a lot of uppity people, a lot of
hoity-toity.
Very commonplace. Everybody's in a Range Rover, a Tesla. I mean, it's like 5 at every stoplight. Every – mom in that, I'm not gonna say the city name, is feels like they're entitled to park in that spot.
That's pretty bad.
That's silly.
And I don't get it.
I don't see that very often, but
no, my dad always does. He'll pull up like next to one of those cars and he'll walk out like he's like stumbling. Yeah. I'm like, got him.
No, I think what just drives me nuts is like, I know like there's so many other parking spots, but you just felt the need to take that.
It's entitlement. I have an issue with people who feel that they're entitled.
And I've always wanted to take a nice knife and put it directly in their tire, but I hold back, you know, like,
oh,
there's,
man, I
aggression.
Can tell you some stories, man.
Go ahead.
one time this guy did that. He got out and went to a Ross, completely able-bodied. And I hear that. Like, I see some videos of people like,
you can't tell that they have.
Oh, they can't. You can't tell. You know, they're not everybody's handicap is visible. I'm sorry, but if you're getting out of the car and
jump out of your
store,
truck,
you're not handicapped to the point where you need a handicap spot.
A physical handicap.
Yeah. To the point where you need a handicap spot. Yeah. Sorry, but you don't. I've seen plenty of people that cannot even walk into the store and they need that spot.
Yes.
And so I was just like, I was like, you know what? Maybe, you know, he had a convertible. He was a bag. Yeah. And the convertible, the roof was back. And I just took my water bottle and I said, you park like a son of a.
You're good.
That's nine.
That's actually tamer than what I really wrote. But true. I threw it into his car and like, should I even be telling this story?
Absolutely.
Heck yeah, dude. I mean, like, what is he going to remember? Like, who did it? Like,
he was like, no. Like, yeah. I have family members that are literally handicapped. Like, they can't walk. They can't walk.
Yeah.
And for them to go to the grocery store, they actually have to have like a walker to get to the front. And so I have zero tolerance.
It's crazy because like my dad, who's had a stroke at 30, he's had like 8 different knee surgeries. He will not be the person to want to take a handicap spot.
He wants to save it for someone who truly.
Yeah, like he literally will go out of his way. He'll get it in the mail. He doesn't even put it on. He just is like, I can do it. Like I can do whatever. I'm fine. Yep. Like I'm still willing and able. Yep. But if you don't have that placard or even have that on your license plate, I'm sorry, man. That is the most disrespect that you could have towards somebody.
It's super douchey.
You know what I mean? Unless you're walking out and you're like Stevie Wonder and somehow you're driving blind. Yeah. Yeah. There's just no way it's acceptable.
No, I get what you're saying.
Not everybody's, you know, disabilities are visible. But I'm sorry, but if you were able to walk to the store, walk all around inside the store and grocery shop.
Without a chair.
Without
or
anything. Then I'm sorry, but maybe allow the person that's missing a leg use that spot. Yeah.
No, I see it like where we are again. I said it's like the mom with the Gucci on carrying all the Starbucks just wanting to get their drink. I'm like, come on.
It just bothers me because it's like it's only when the person walks out. Like I'm not gonna judge it like beforehand, right? It's only when I see it happen that's when my blood gets
something.
Boiling. No, I hate confrontation.
I say something. I always say something.
You should know that my confidence level is zero. So.
I used to not be like that. I used to be a people pleaser like my whole life. And like maybe 7 years ago, my wife and I went to some like, you know, seminar thing about, you know, who you are. And I quickly learned that I was way too much of a people pleaser. And they like, you know, had me kind of rethink certain things. And I think that it almost made me a jerk in some areas because now I always call things out. Like if I see it and it bothers me. You know, I say it. Maybe I shouldn't all the time. Sometimes my kids will see me do it. I'm like, maybe I didn't need to be that aggressive. But I definitely say something. I see someone parking.
Who hasn't said their worst of the worst yet? Let me hear it.
Christoph.
I have a couple.
People who get mad at me for parking in a handicap.
Like Russian? You guys are like, Crystal.
People who yell at me for parking in a handicap spot.
Hey.
No, I've never actually done that, ever. I do get annoyed sometimes at how many handicap parking spots there might be.
Wow. I thought
that was going to go in a whole different place. I hate how
sometimes
many handicap
like
people there are.
Too many, but and they're not being utilized. But I understand if there's that many handicap people. But it seems funny. Like there's an awful lot of them.
That comes to all like coding and zoning, like that's for development.
It's funny that you say that because my post office, like the one that I always go to, it's so weird. The handicap spots aren't even in front of the building; they're like all to the side, like it's out of the way. I'm like,
farther than all the other spots.
Like, what? Yeah, so I just park in those because it's like no handicap person's actually going to use these.
Oh,
like,
that's horrible.
Not really, but
yeah. No,
but you know what? It's just really strange. So like, I get that. Like,
well, I mean, when you drive into a parking lot and you see like rows and rows and rows of handicap parking spots, like at a big event or something, and you're like, nobody's using this,
bro. He's not speaking for us.
All right, enough of that.
Yeah, no. Go ahead.
Are there really going to be that many handicapped people here?
Come on, guys.
Bad opinion to have. One thing that really, really bothers me is when I see like the professional, all geared up bicycle guys, and they are in the not on the bike lane, not on the sidewalk. They are riding in the middle of the road. Like they are just a car, and I am like,
oh my god,
you are not a car.
That pisses me off so much
many options for you to do things. And then on top of it, like, they'll act like they're a car, and then they'll come up to like a four-way stop, and they don't even stop. They just go through it as if like they have
bicycle coming through.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, if you're going to act like a car, first of all, don't just start running red lights and doing everything.
Oh my God.
But it bothers me to no end when there's a sidewalk and now even bike lanes and they're not.
I got into it so bad with this stupid bag. because he was doing that. So I got off on the service lane of a highway, and you got, or I guess this particular service lane is big. It's got three lanes, right, middle, left. I'm getting off. He's in the middle lane.
Yep.
In the middle lane, just doop. And I'm like, what are you doing?
First of all, you're going to get killed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like if you were just like half a second behind me, I probably wouldn't even seen you because you would have been in my blind spot.
Yep.
You idiot.
Yep.
And when we got to the red light, I let him have it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I let him have it.
Yeah.
And I said some words that I don't even think exist.
Oh, like, cool.
That you would definitely have to bleep out.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I just let him have it. And he was like, you know, like whatever. You ain't going to do anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, they have courage on bikes too, man. They are mouthy people.
And I get it. Like, sometimes, yes, they're doing a swarm. There's like 40 guys all biking. I will be the first to say I am a daily runner where I run outdoors. I'm not a treadmill runner. I run outdoors. I always make sure I'm giving the cars all the room they need, even if there's not a sidewalk. I find my way. I'll stumble in the bushes while I have to get through for that mile to go through to make sure I'm not in the car lane. You know, I mean, sad to say it too. You see it all over California, all the memorials. So many people have gotten smoked on bikes. They'll hang out in the bike lane, but they'll swerve in and out of it like crazy. And then they'll be entitled. I've seen them videos. They'll kick the car while they're driving. I'm like, dude, you just almost got smoked by someone going 70 miles an hour.
It drives me nuts when they're all on PCH and they're in like a huge group and they're pushing.
It doesn't bother me if they stay in their lane.
No, but they're okay. A highway should not be a dedicated bike lane for 30 bicyclists all at once pushing traffic to the left towards another car.
Did you just say highway?
Yeah, PCH.
Y'all do that here?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. PCH is the number one?
Bikers take over on like Sunday mornings.
Oh, yeah.
Down in on PCH is Pacific Coast Highway going up and down like Route 1.
We have dedicated bike lanes.
But they literally take over the road.
But they want to be wide. They want to have like five. They want to talk to their buddies.
There's like packs of them running in like 50, 60.
There's no like police escort. They just do it.
No. Yeah, they just do it.
And this isn't like a marathon. This isn't like anything. It's just packs.
So there's a difference between our freeways and our highways. But for us, like the highway for PCH is along the beach, right? So all the way down the coast, you have this highway going through. Yeah, yeah. It's crazy. It's a nice view. It's great. But for the most part, there are dedicated bike lanes, but they do not want to wait and watch, like get around people who walk. They all just want to be on speed racers, full army suited out.
Okay. So I have another pet peeve about these bicyclists.
Before you say it, I'm all get outside, bike.
No, we are.
Be healthy. Go beyond. All do your thing. Get your energy out. But just if imagine me in my car, just thinking I can cruise in the middle lane the whole time. You can't do that. You got to stay in your lane.
Right. Yeah. Like that's just it's just dangerous. It's dangerous for you. And then when I hit you, I'm at fault. It's my problem.
Or you can almost hit someone else, being like, oh shoot, bikers, and hit the guy next to you because you're trying to swerve out of the way.
I think what really gets to me, because like I'm all for it too. Like I've been in Huntington Beach for a while now. It's when they all jump into you and you have a car, like you have alongside the parking, and then you have 30 bikers, and then you have two small lanes next to each other, and that's it. Kind of pushes it like. They do not yield to you at all. They just keep on going. They have their little mirror and they don't care.
Yeah, no, it's strange. Like there's areas where I come from where there's like bike lanes or whatever, but it's not as prevalent as here.
Totally.
And I remember like on my way here, I was actually crossing a street where the bike lane was coming across and then the bike lane like went in front of the street. And like, I have to remember myself, oh, is there someone on a bike here? It's like, you don't think about that sort of thing. Like where I'm from. It's
Abilene, dude, the roads are trash. So you know that there's no bikes on those roads.
Where
dude.
Ricky lives, they just redid the whole long street by his house to make sure that bikers have like a more of a rite of passage. And the accidents in that area have gone up like quadruple fold because it's messing up the cars.
Dude, traffic is insane out there. Just for a bike lane that no one uses.
And no one uses
it. Bike use it.
California must have passed a new law too. Are they green? Did they paint
their green? They're green. So
yeah, they're doing it all around Huntington Beach now. Yeah, too. They're like these super wide green lanes.
Yep.
But they're maybe trying to solve this problem with these bikers taking over the road.
Yeah, no, no, they
are. Get around them because there's like green like barrier things. You can't go around them.
I'm all for it. I mean, like if they want to make a dedicated lane, but follow that lane, dude.
Yeah, stay in that lane. Once it's there.
It sounds like some half-hearted way to try to encourage people to ride bikes instead of cars.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Is what it is.
Yes. Yeah,
and it's definitely just the county or somebody pushing that initiative.
To make themselves feel good.
Yeah.
100%. I made a difference at my city council.
Exactly.
You know? Now, Billy.
Yeah, that kind of stuff is, you know, it's happening everywhere. Politics. Like, yeah.
Do we have another worst of the worst?
Oh, I got plenty.
We got time for one more, I believe. Let me check.
We can finish on this one, bro.
Oh, I
love this.
I got one.
Let's hear it.
All right.
People who do not take their shopping carts back.
Oh, I said this I talked about it last time. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Sorry, Billy. You can give a 1-minute rant though, so we don't double dip with the audience.
I do not want to.
I'm sorry, I used up on my cuss words, but I will give the exception to if you're elderly, if you have a disability, if you're a woman who is has a young child and they don't want to leave that child in the car by itself, and you don't want to take the cart back to the car. I get it. But if you are an able-bodied person and you don't take your cart back, you can go to hell.
Oh, wow. You're in a church, Billy.
You can go. Well, good. They should know better than anyone. Like, that is commandment number one, as far as I'm concerned. Do not. You are a bag if you do not take your cart back. I'm sorry. Like,
I share the same sentence.
Especially, I've seen people leave them in parking spot where I'm trying to like park. I'm trying to go in. Oh, there's a car.
I've been in my car and seen someone put it behind my car. Like, just left. I'm like, no, I have to get out.
Yes. Oh my God. I would take it and just throw it onto their car. Like, if that happened.
I think one of the biggest things for me is people who act like they're in the military when they're not.
Oh, that's just.
I know it's illegal.
Stolen valor.
Oh yeah, of course it's stolen valor. But I mean, like, it's just the fact that you have the courage to think that you can put on the uniform claim it. No, I'm saying
is that a common thing?
It's a cowardly kinda thing. But I'm saying to have the nuts to even put on a thing, and when you didn't do it, that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, I've seen a lot of videos pop up on that lately.
Really?
Yeah.
You got him. But no, I think it's just that in general, like people who want to use the benefits for the discounts, the first on a plane, all these things. Like, I have so much family in the military. That is a direct insult.
Yeah, but that's funny because usually when that to get any sort of benefits at that, you have to present them with an ID.
Yeah,
well, even a lot of it
faked.
Too.
A lot of it is
they're going to the point of faking.
Illegal. No, like if you're even dressed and claiming this, it is called stolen valor.
But there's
illegal.
Also people too who like you think if you wear it, you still get notoriety. People respect you more when you're out. You go to In-N-Out or something, they're not going to ask you, show me your card. They'll say, oh yeah, clearly you
sure. But to get the discount,
legal government.
Yeah. Somebody just wearing like a Marines vet hat and they're not a Marines vet kind of thing.
I even watched a video where this lady went to a recruitment center dressed all in the Army gear and all that stuff, wanting a loan. Right.
Oh, boy.
And claiming to be a lieutenant. Didn't even. So the guy at the recruitment center is like just messing with her. She's like, oh, so like you're this, like this, whatever department it is. And she's like, yeah. And then he tells her a rank and he's like, she kind of just kind of stunned.
Wait,
right?
Wait, I'm sorry. She was recording this video?
No. The guy at the recruitment center was recording it as it was happening to kind of show, what people do at what lengths to get something and be an advantage. She had tried to apply for a loan at a recruitment center.
Wow.
Out of all things. And then try to get a flight back to wherever she was going.
I saw that one.
Yeah. And I'm like, you have the audacity to walk into just and to try to get a loan. I mean, why would you get a loan at a recruitment
center? I feel like someone like that, you can't truly, that person doesn't grasp what it means to serve the country because there's so much honor in being willing to put your life on the line for people you don't know. you know, for a country that you live in. And then for someone to be like, yeah, I did that too. Like, that was me too. Like, just kind of throw your hat in the ring.
Yeah, well, it's just, it's the scum of the scum. Like, those type of people are the type of people that would screw over, like, an old lady.
Yeah.
You know, trying to scam them, like, trying to get their social security number. Like, those are the lowest of the low people. Yep.
That's why we call this segment the worst of the worst. My other one is not near that low, but it does make me angry. It makes me very angry. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody in here does it. I'm sorry. Don't look at me in the eyes. I hate when people let their kids run around in a place of where you're eating. I hate it so much. And I get it. It can be cute when you're eating your food and a little kid comes up and, for 1 second, he got away from the table. Oh, hey, buddy. It's like, no, Ricky doesn't do it. When they come to the table and they're like, hey, buddy, oh, cute, for 2 seconds. Hi, where's your mom and dad? And the mom and dad are over there on their phones. Well, they're worst of the worst. Over their phones, just chilling. And the kid's just running around the restaurant. Just,
oops.
Yeah, touching things, just chilling, going around the restaurant, butting into everyone's food. And I get it. In the beginning, I know it's hard to be a parent. And this used to bug me before I had kids. And everyone's like, well, wait till you have kids, man. Didn't change. I tell my kids, we're at a restaurant, sit your butt down.
I don't understand why that's so difficult.
People act like it. Before I had kids, I was like, you just don't know.
Do you have Golden Corrals here?
Yes.
Very
it is. It is. I don't know. I don't know what it is about Golden Corral, but it is the worst at Golden Corral.
They can't corral their
kids. I hope they're not a sponsor of this video. No. but it is worse. Like, you cannot corral your kids. I can, but every time I go to Golden Corral, around the table, like, it don't matter every time.
Yep.
Dude, it's insane.
I feel like Golden Corral is so prevalent in Texas. I'm telling you, every time we had a travel for baseball within Texas for me in college, we would go to a Golden Corral.
What's the equivalent of a Golden Corral out here?
Sizzler.
Oh, I don't think so.
It used to be like,
I feel like that's a low blow.
Golden Corral is not.
I feel like it's just Chinese buffet place.
It's a Chinese buffet, but with southern sort
the
of
only
like,
thing you know. I used to love mm-hmm. getting there was bread pudding, and that was about it, dude. That was.
But you didn't like Golden Corral?
No.
Like I would go there so much. Like whenever I was like, you know what, my calories are low. I need to really kind of just like eat this.
You would just go in and just do all you can eat.
Bread pudding. Yeah. Why do you think I turned out the way I did, Chris? But no, that's literally like, I just go there because you would have to feed an entire baseball team, right? What is the cheapest way to do it? We had a partnership. Yeah, we had a partnership with Whataburger and Chick-fil-A, and those were only like certain days of the week after practice, and then the other ones were Golden Corral.
Do you love Whataburger?
So good. Yeah.
Yeah, you like your glorified McDonald's. It's okay.
It's not like it doesn't taste anything like McDonald's.
It does.
I tried it 3 times, and I didn't like it twice, and then I really liked it 1 time. So it was so weird. I was like,
well, what did you get?
Same cheeseburger, fries, and a shake, I'm sure.
I think I drowned it out because we had it so many times, and I was just disgusted.
I'm not going to sit here and say it's the most amazing burger in there. Like, it's not my favorite. Like, if I was going to go to a burger joint or whatever.
Is it better than In-N-Out to you?
Yeah.
No.
But I like In-N-Out.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah,
okay,
I don't dislike.
So you're not like Jay.
I'm not like, oh, it's Whataburger and In-N-Out sucks.
That's
so
Jay.
Freaking bad.
That's Jay. Every time I talk to him.
Look, no, I'll stick anything in my pie hole as long as it's tasty. Oh. softball.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm gonna let it lay for you. Don't worry. How much time left?
Oh, I mean, we're pretty much out right now. So
it's out. It's time.
Yeah.
Dang it.
Why would you want to say?
I was hoping one of them.
You got
had
5 minutes.
Okay. Who else has got one? Come on, Ricky.
I can't,
Chris.
Oh, good. I have another good one that really bothers me. Unless you
no,
got
go
a
ahead,
good
go
one.
Ahead, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead.
Yeah, we got 5 minutes.
It bothers me. I can't think of the term. Help me out with this, but it bothers me to no end when people use sympathy animals like.
Oh gosh, Chris is gonna get so much trouble. You know, first he made fun of the handicap, and now he's making fun of. Therapy dog.
A therapy.
No, there's a different one. It's a comfort dog.
Like a comfort dog or something.
Yeah, we're not talking about something that like somebody needs.
Not a service
blind,
dog.
Like they're blind. No.
So you're not talking an actual service dog.
No, yeah. Service dogs.
I was like, Curtis, cut the podcast.
No, service dogs are absolutely amazing. What took place a few years ago, and I can't. It's like comfort dogs or sympathy animals or something like that, where people were trying to take dogs and mostly dogs. Yeah, yeah.
Inside grocery stores. Inside
grocery stores, yeah. Inside restaurants, on airplanes. And they literally had sheets of paper that were like you could probably go get from any doctor that just said, oh, yeah, this is a sympathy animal. Like, yeah. You can bring it anywhere because you need to be sympathized by this creature.
What's that? What?
So Beto just said it in my ear. He said emotional support
dog. Emotional support dog.
Yeah, so, yeah. Oh, my God.
You'll see those at the VAs. That's what they're for. A lot of the veterans, they have PT. Like,
well, that's different.
Okay, totally different.
Okay, that's different. Stop justifying it. Like, now you're making me feel bad.
Because I used to see a ton of them. Like, what are evil all these white men? Doing?
I think
but
if you don't
have the system got abused bad that then I started seeing signs that said, we do not recognize emotional support animals at like airports and other places where I was like, yes,
because people finally figured out
that this was just like a little loophole.
People were bringing like chameleons on and lizards. Yeah. I get it, like kind chickens.
And they would all have like, my wife had a friend who does not watch this podcast. I don't think she'll
thank God.
Until now.
Abused that everywhere we went. We would go out to dinner with her and she'd be like, oh, I'm going to bring my dog in. And I'd be like, stop it. Don't bring the dog in to go to eat dinner. Oh no, the dog's going to come in and sit at the table with me because it's my emotional support animal. And then she would go up to the restaurant and they'd be like, oh, I'm sorry, miss, we can't have dogs in here. And she's like, oh no. You want to get sued? Here's my emotional support one-page document that was like not a legal thing at all. And they'd be like, oh God, we better let the dog in. And I'm like, they finally started shutting that down. And I was like, thank God. So
my grandma get mad at people like that because she actually has two trained service dogs. Like, she
amazing animal service dogs.
She go to the hospital and like they would be like emotional support for the hospital people that are there that don't have anybody, right? But she has the actual paper that says they're service dogs. If you didn't have that, she'd be
Chris is more talking about the abuse of it.
Yeah. There might be people that actually, like you said, somebody in the military, maybe there is reasons for
it. You're talking the abuse of it.
I knew somebody that started to abuse
it. I'll take, you know, if you went to war for our country, yeah, sure. Like, I have no qualms about you. Yeah. If whatever PTSD you've gotten from that, I don't understand it, but I get it. And 100%. Have all the sympathy dogs that you need. Otherwise, you're just
I like
I can't wait to just beep. This is awesome.
I do get it to some extent. Like, I get it. Like, and I'm sure there are people watching who are hating us right now, but there are certain things in the world, like that Billy said, like, yes, for where it makes sense and it's real, but there are some people where you just need a breakthrough of that mindset of like, you got to push forward and break through and make that leap.
Right,
like, I can do this without saying that. This is an emotional support for a lot of teenagers right now.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be on a lot of things. It's more of the abuse of it. I get what you're saying.
You create your own reality up here every day.
Oh,
and like,
yeah.
if you tell yourself that you need something like an animal just to go to the grocery store, then you're going to need an animal to go to the grocery store. But you're perfectly capable of telling yourself that you don't.
Yeah, no, I get that. The mind has so much power. People always ask me, how are you in such a good mood every day? I'm like, because I make myself in a good mood. I wake up, I think about, I'm waking up next to my beautiful wife, my kids are in the other room. It's like, this is I can decide what I'm doing with this. Or I can wake up and focus on the things that are bad and be like, oh, I wish this was better. Right.
That is the most important thing. I think sometimes people don't realize that you can control that voice in your head.
You
can tell it what you want it to think. And if you're like, the other day I was having a bad day, I was just kind of down on myself. And I woke up the next morning, I'm like, I am not thinking like that again. Let's start off good, just fresh, good thoughts.
Told it.
And you can control that and you can direct it for sure.
Yeah. You create your own reality.
Yeah.
You really do. And I feel like, you know, old man yelling at clouds, but a lot of the issues that we have today are people that want to make excuses for what they, you know, where their places are in life because of outside forces. And I can't do this because of outside forces, But
and emotional support animals, 99% of the time, are probably not going to solve that. I have cats too. They're nice. They
cats aren't that nice.
Well, they're pretty awesome to have, and they're certainly soothing to pet and stuff, but it's not going to solve all my
problems. That's the only time where Billy was allowed to say the P word.
All right, guys, so we're going to end on that one. Thank you, Billy, for being here. I just want to say all the full episode for audio only will be in the description. And if you guys haven't yet, please go to SoCal Expo Gaming Expo and look at that link. Get your tickets. It is coming up June 8th and 9th.
Billy, thank you so much for offending all of our audience.
That was awesome.
Every single one of them. Yeah. I love it. If you love getting offended, make sure to check out Game Chaser. Yeah, obviously they have a podcast.
Everyone that's got an emotional support dog, and they're just gonna throw them at me, and they're like,
and don't forget, Chris made fun of handicaps.
Yeah.
right now somebody is not returning their cart, and I hate you.
All right, that's it.
But yeah, thank you for, I invited myself on, by the way.
You did. I invited myself on. I got a text, yo, I'll be in California, I'm on, get me on your podcast. I was like, I'm in, bro. I love you, so thank you.